Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning, as the case may be, and welcome to another edition of Coast to Coast AM, live overnight talk radio right here in the middle of or from the middle of the desert, extending out to the Hawaiian Tahitian Islands in the west, all the way east to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the pole. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Now, several items to get out to you, and then we're going to explore Atlantis. I always thought Atlantis was a non-existent place, a myth. I'm still not convinced. And I've heard a lot about Atlantis, and I guess I know the mythology behind it a little bit. It was here. There was a great series of earthquakes and earth disruptions, it is said, and Atlantis disappeared. With us tonight is Dr. Wendy Lockwood. And I'll tell you all about her in a moment. She knows, she says, about Atlantis. So I guess we've got the right person. Regarding fidgets, you may take a look. I have taken about, several hours ago, prior to airtime, I took, by the way, the fidgets arrived on time yesterday, and I have taken the fidgets so that you might see them, and took a quick shot with the studio cam. So, the present photo up on the studio cam, part of the web site, is of fidgets. And I'm going to have no more comment on fidgets, except to say go ahead and take a look. And when I have finished evaluating them, I will have a comment for you. So that's the story on fidgets. But anyway, for the next, I'll leave it up there for the next couple hours or so. So anybody who wants to can get a look at what a fidget physically is configured like. There are several different versions of fidgets up there. To somebody tuning in for the very first time who's never heard this show before, you're going to think I've totally lost my mind. What is a fidget? A fidget is said to be a device to allow travel in time, or to calm oneself, or one may ascribe many properties to a fidget. At any rate, I felt a need to get them up there for you to see. And the quickest, dirtiest way to do that was to take a quick cam, studio cam shot of the thing, and just leave it there. So for the next 2 hours, you can see fidgets. Otherwise, I will evaluate them and let you know. There is something else as well. There was an article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, written, I think, on the 13th, which would have been yesterday. And we grabbed that and put it right up on the website as well. Christopher Ruddy is going to be writing an article that'll be in the Pittsburgh paper. It was sort of a profile on me, and I'm going to be most interested to see what Mr. Ruddy has to say. That's going to be interesting. So in a moment, we're going to talk a little bit about Atlantis. Dr. Lockwood, actually Dr. Wendy Lockwood, who's been a radio announcer, a high fashion model and art director, among many other pursuits, earned her Ph.D. and minister's degree in Western Shambhala, located 7,000 feet, or at 7,000 foot level, in the Colorado Rockies, an ashram and seminary college. She lived there 11 years. It was founded by the late and famous enlightened master, Dr. M. Dalrymple, who was Tibetan trained. He was an Eastern philosopher, a psychologist, and medical doctor. His successor was Dr. Trenton Tully, of whom I am the successor, meaning the good doctor. Dr. Dalrymple was, and I'm never going to be able to pronounce this, Akhenaten, or something very close. Dr. Tully was King Tut, cousins in ancient Egypt. Dr. Tully was also the crown prince of Portugal, and one of the little rascals of old-time movies. A good doctor says she remembers Atlantis well, having worked there as a nuclear physicist. This is all very, very interesting. She says that the Atlanteans were blue-skinned and averaged, get this, 28 feet tall. They lived for thousands of years. Here from Sonora, California, is Dr. Lockwood. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Art.
That's really something. Let's go right back to the beginning with Atlantis. To me, Doctor, Atlantis has always been probably nothing more than a myth that I've heard about. That Atlantis, if I've got it right, once existed and was a whole civilization, and then through a series of earthquakes or earth movements was destroyed and sank beneath the sea. And that is about my knowledge, or what I think I know, about Atlantis. What can you tell me?
Well, of course, there's no present archives to actually prove that Atlantis did exist. But there are secret archives through some of the mystery schools in the world who have the evidence that Atlantis existed. The best way to prove Atlantis is to go back in time, of which I've done, and I teach people how to do that. And there's more than one way to go back in time. One of them is a mystical way, and one is your fidget method. And perhaps a few others.
Yes, well, no present comment on the fidgets, but your method.
My method, when you go into astral projection, you go into the realm of absolute truth. You don't enter where there is the illusion of the material world any longer, or what the Easterners call Maya.
Okay, astral projection, and that would mean out-of-body travel.
Out-of-body travel.
Mm-hmm. All right. I've talked to many learned people who believe that's absolutely possible. Where are you traveling when you were traveling? In a plane of some sort, right?
You're traveling, if you go into the plane of time, you go into the fifth dimension, which is contained within the fourth dimensional plane. The fourth dimensional plane is the plane where you might say that the heavenly worlds.
Well, I understand three dimensions because I can see them.
Right.
They're here in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. What is the fourth dimension?
The fourth dimension is the plane. This is the way I explain dimensions to my students. You consider that we have molecules in the material cosmos, and as the molecules increase in their speed, in their rapidity, they raise an octave. And when they reach a certain octave, they move into another dimension.
When you say octave, do you mean a vibrational frequency? Would it be like a vibrational frequency?
Yes, it's a frequency.
Yeah, okay, that figures.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the fourth dimension.
So when it reaches a certain octave or a certain level of frequency, then we are in the fourth dimension.
All right. Is the fourth dimension is it additional sight? In other words, I have before me now three dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could be in the fourth, would I have three plus one? In other words, when I see everything I'm seeing now, plus more.
Exactly. It is the fourth dimension is always right. All dimensions are within us. It's a matter of attunement to those dimensions. mental attunement. We can be trained to do that. That's how the Easterns do. They train us to attune to those dimensions through various yogic exercises and mantras and so forth.
Okay. Is this dimension, Doctor, the same? Is it connected with those who have had after near-death experiences,
that is,
sort of thing?
Okay, that is the borderland. We call that the borderland astral. It's not all the way into the fourth dimension. If it would extend all the way into the fourth dimension, they would not come back. So that's the borderland astral, where they have the near-death experiences. But it's very inspiring and very uplifting. And many of us do astral project there, and we meet great souls who help us, the angelic beings and so forth.
All right. Then Atlantis, did Atlantis exist beyond the third dimension? I mean, is there something, was Atlantis actually physically here?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Atlantis still exists, but it is emerged. It is submerged beneath the Atlantic Ocean at the present. However, it is on its way up now. It's beginning to rise.
And it is your contention, isn't it, that the eruption going on, the continuous eruption actually right now of Mont Hoorat, mm-hmm. is part of the beginning of the rising of Atlantis?
I am absolutely certain of that. Yes, I am. Atlantis should begin to rise very soon. We should be able they should be able to go out and on boats and begin to survey the sea bottom and see that it's rising.
Really? What would we detect first, Doctor?
Well, I've heard various stories. My teacher, my guru, told me that the first thing that would rise would be the 20-mile square pyramid that's on the island of Yunol. That would be the first to rise, and that would be a sight to behold in itself.
It certainly would. Atlantis was then a real place. What I hardly even know where to go here. What sank Atlantis? Was it, as I suggested,
okay. That's a good question. That's a very good question because there's a fascinating story behind it. Atlantis was invaded by the Lemurians. At one time, both continents were holy continents, you might say, or in an Eden state. And both continents, first of all, Lemuria was invaded by the serpent race, or the Draconians. And they were totally, totally taken over by the Draconians. And then the Draconians had the desire to take over the entire world. And so they invaded Atlantis. And Atlantis began to fall. The great spiritual ones who are, you want to call them spiritual, I don't really use that word too often, advanced people, advanced minds and souls, left Atlantis. They foresaw what was happening. They left Atlantis and built colonies around the world. So Atlantis went into war with Lemuria, and between the two continents, they devastated the world. It was atomic war.
All right, this is pretty wild. Let me ask now about, is it reasonable to ask about timelines? In other words,
yes.
When did Lemuria and Atlantis exist?
Okay, Atlantis sank 50,000 years ago.
50,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And when it sank, some of the great beings who were the leaders of Atlantis fled Atlantis in their great cigar ships to Egypt.
So, in other words, Atlantis was a highly civilized,
very highly
continent.
Very, very highly.
Would it have been an island or a continent?
It was a series of 10 islands.
10 islands.
10 large islands. Contrary to what Plato tells us, and Plato's information is secondhand. He didn't really have the information. It was theoretic more than anything else. But it was a series of 10 islands laid out and strung out through the Caribbean down to the coast of South America.
Okay. Did South America at that time and North America as we know them exist?
Yes, it did exist, but it was shaped differently because the great upheavals that happened during the double atomic war that happened, which caused the Earth shift, created terrible upheavals in the world. There was a lot of sinking and rising of lands, and the whole landscape of the world was totally reformed. The Amazon Valley was a great inland sea at one time.
And that was the Christians out there, Doctor, believe that man showed up on Earth, what, about
about 6,000 years ago.
6,000 years ago. And you're talking about an event that occurred 50,000 years
right.
ago.
I mean, I was raised a Christian, too, but I don't find this contrary to the teachings, personally.
Why not? Or how not?
In.
I guess I had to ask, how not?
I'm a real open-minded person.
Well, I am, too.
I find ways to mesh it in. And you have to be, if you want truth. If you want truth, you have to open your mind.
I'm open to truth.
Mm-hmm. And I know you are.
Sure I am. But 50,000 years ago, what? There is no physical evidence to back any of this presently, is there? Or is there?
Yes, they found some ruins off the shore of Florida. They found some ruins. They found a highway there and so forth. So, yes, indeed, there's evidence. And in some of the ancient archives, there's evidence. And as we move forward and during the next 3 years, a lot of this is going to come forward and a lot of the real evidence is going to be given to us, but there's nothing like seeing for our own.
I do believe that I saw a couple of television documentaries, In Search of Atlantis, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
and there are people who have theories that Atlantis is located at various parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Most seem to feel Atlantis really did exist.
Well, I know it did, but I can't make anybody else believe that. They have to
accept it as faith.
Give it to themselves. Pardon?
Accept it as faith, as one would.
Well, if you intuitively feel like it is, yes. There's a lot of people who would love to believe it did exist, and a lot of us feel the same way toward Atlantis as we do toward the Great Pyramids. There's something deep within our subconscious mind that's just drawn to it like a magnet. It's very mysterious.
Well, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I surely understand that.
Indeed. And the Great Pyramids, by the way, were built by the Atlanteans and the Sphinx. Not the Romans. Thoth built the Great Pyramids and the Sphinx. And the Great Pyramid is over a great gateway that goes into the inner world. All great pyramids, all the greater pyramids, are over gateways that goes into the inner earth.
When inner earth?
In the inner earth. Yeah, this is all tied in together, too.
As in the hollow earth theory?
Yes,
or
absolutely. I've been there.
Oh, you've been there?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
Okay.
In astral projection, I consider that as real as this, more real than this life.
More.
Yes, I've seen it. It's a beautiful place. The northern lights are the lights from the inner sun. And from northern Shambhala, the great holy, we don't call it holy city, the religions call it holy city.
Well, northern lights are earth lights, aren't they?
Yes,
they surely are. There's
they
no
are.
Question about that.
They are the lights, and that's one thing that scientists will eventually learn. And then if you recall Admiral Byrd, flew into the inner earth and his account of...
I know of that story, surely.
It's a beautiful story. And it's true. I've seen that beautiful place.
Through astral projection?
Through astral projection, yes. I haven't been there in person, but I expect to go there in person.
You would try? You would actually try to go sort of opening?
I'm working on being invited there.
On being invited? Well, one has to be invited, huh?
You have to.
I guess one doesn't...
you have to qualify.
Doesn't crash the inner earth circle.
No, we can't do that. There's too many force fields.
All right, Doctor, hold tight. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997. listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997.
Once again, here I am. Good morning, everybody. My guest is Dr. Wendy Lockwood, and we are talking about Atlantis and things related. And it is, at the same time, troubling and interesting. The temptation is to say this is some put-together, cobbled-together sort of Eastern-Western mishmash of belief systems that doesn't make any sense. But you've got to stop for a moment and listen closely. Because, you know, you could be wrong. That's the way I look at these things. Very, very interesting. We'll get back to it in a moment. Back now to my guest, Dr. Lockwood. Doctor, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Let me read you the rough ones, all right? Because
okay.
That'll cause you to respond. All right, good. This is from James in Nashville, who said, I paraphrased what he said. He says, Art, this is all convoluted BS. She has done nothing more than take similar elements of both Western and Eastern mysticism and incorporated them into a set of beliefs to fit her fancy. What we need here is proof in any form or fashion. How do you respond to that?
Okay, I did give methods of proof. I told you to get out there and research, and you're going to find the correlating.
All right, where does a beginner begin?
Well, you just go to your public library.
And?
Start studying Atlantis, ancient civilizations. Study Thoth, the Atlantean. Study a lot of the ancient mythology. In fact, all ancient mythology is based upon truth, and it's the way they preserved the truth down through the aeons of time. But you have to go into the ancient history teachings. You can't be afraid of the metaphysical teachings. You have to be incredibly brave, courageous, and don't let your religious calling get in your way. If it's strong enough, it won't interfere anyway. So that, I mean, I give you many good methods. I wouldn't believe anything that I did not prove for myself. I've been in this work for 40 years. I've studied extremely deeply every day. I have my nose in studies.
All right. If I were to come to you and I say, I want to investigate this. I do want to learn more. Mm-hmm. Give me the title of the first book I ought to read.
The first book you ought to read. Oh, dear. That's a good question.
A starter book.
Well, you go into the libraries and get yourself some information on the secret societies of the world. I'm not talking about what's happened to the Masons and all like that. I'm talking about some of the other societies, and a lot of them will have some of the ancient teachings. Many of them have their own publishing companies. The society that Philosophical Society, which was led by Dr. Helen Blavatsky. That's back east someplace. But the Philosophical Society, the secret societies, you will find that they have preserved a lot of the ancient teachings in very excellent book form.
Okay.
That's one excellent way to look for them. And then go ahead and correlate materially, mentally, everything you can find. Ancient Greece, the entire Greek alphabet is the story of the rise, or let's say the beginning, the rise, and the fall of Atlantis.
Is ancient Greece the same as present-day Greece?
No. The ancient Greece was a colony of Atlantis.
Of Atlantis, all right.
Yeah.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Wendy Lockwood. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Russ near Chicago.
Yes, sir.
I have a problem with the society or humanoids in the caverns of the earth. I take it that they are breathing and eating. So where do they get their supplies? What do they do with their waste?
I see where you're going. Hold on for a second. All right, doctor. Are these beings within the earth, beings as we understand them, physical beings with needs?
Their needs are somewhat different than ours.
Somewhat different?
Yeah.
Could she explain that?
Well, some of them are reptoid in nature, and they don't eat too often, for one thing. For another thing, when they do eat, they're cannibalistic.
These are intelligent beings.
They're intelligent, but they're diabolically intelligent. They're not evolved, spiritually speaking.
Archie also mentioned that there were highways down there, so evidently they are using vehicles of some sort, and they need supplies and so on.
You could find an American Ford Taurus down there if you looked.
You could find an American Ford Taurus?
Yes, indeed you would. Those highways are vast. Those were places...
Well, indeed, nobody knows where a lot of cars have gone.
I would say...
Okay, Archie answered my question. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. All right, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Lockwood. Hello.
How are you doing, Art?
I'm fine.
Hi, Dr. Lockwood.
Hello.
I have a brief comment and a brief question.
Sure.
First of all, I'm a remote sensor, and it's my personal belief that beneath the Earth, we're renting out, or not we are, but another alien form is renting out a very gigantic warehouse, but a very small percentage of it to a lower life form biological robot, and that these are the ones that do most of the work and run around, and we see their UFOs most of the time. And do you agree with that, and what order of...
One question at a time, sir.
Okay. Well, that was a comment.
That was
yes,
quite
I
a serving.
That
was a comment.
You do agree with that, Doctor. She agrees.
Okay, and my question is, do you believe that there is only one form under the ground and that the installation they work in is a robot warehouse? And listen off the air.
No, there are multi-forms down there. There are many, many beings down there of different varied races, and those races vary far more than we here on the surface do in their appearance. They don't get along too well either. We get along just fine compared to them and the variations of our races. In fact, we look just alike compared to the differences they have. There are many, many very, very extreme-looking races down there. There's some of them that have several arms and several legs. And
really? All right, Doctor. In the Southwest, particularly in the Taos area, there has been a noted hum coming from the Earth, a loud hum. It's bothered a lot of people. Actually, here in Nevada, I think I've told this story several times, but I had a very good friend over on the other side of the very valley that I live in here. It's called the Pahrump Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And he built a porch. And when he did, he sunk the pillars for the porch, you know, into the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As support. And when he did that, every single day, day in and day out, night in and night out, worst of all, there was a hum and a vibration that vibrated his whole home to the degree that he couldn't sleep. And actually, I watched it, so it was no joke. This guy tore this porch down.
Yes, I remember you mentioning that.
You do?
Yes, I do. I think that would be great material for the remote viewers to work on.
Oh, in other words, what is below?
Yeah, the source of the hum. In my own, it's just an educated guess. There's probably some pretty vast caverns down there, probably just loaded with great computer-type machines that are casting off this hum. It may be something deliberate it may be something related to implants in the people on the surface. It may be some kind of a conspiracy to just break us down. Certain sounds can have a damaging effect on our body.
No question about that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lockwood. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this Art Bell?
It is.
Hey, Dr. Lockwood?
Yes, hello.
I've been hearing about what you're saying about Atlantis and all that, and I believe you wholeheartedly.
Thank you, dear.
Do you think that some of your teachings would outline the weather pattern that's fixing to hit?
Well, the weather, everything is tied in. The weather patterns are all part of the shift of the Earth's axis, which is beginning now.
Well, I mean, do you think if they could decipher it down to where they could show the weather pattern being constant with the weather that's happening, and they could decipher a way that we could unite as one, as humanity, and possibly survive what's fixing to happen?
This is going to be kind of on an individual basis what we're going to be doing. You know, each man is on their own. The weather pattern, of course, is an indication of the great changes that are coming. But we're getting a lot of help that are beyond our five senses. There are beings who are helping us that we cannot see with our five senses, but we're getting tremendous help, every single one of us, including Art. And they're going to help us evolve and help us have this awareness, guide us to sources of information and people who can give them the truth to help them survive the great cataclysms that are coming.
And you're saying these will begin within a couple of years?
Within a couple of years. In fact, in my publication, I have countdown on it. Countdown until 1999. We have 16 months to go. 1999 begins the deterioration of Earth. And that people should not fear. They should go within and find the God that they have acquainted themselves with and become better acquainted with that and find an inner calm and realize that in order to improve anything and to recreate something, there has to be a mess made and there has to be a lot of change happening. And death is not the end of anything. There's no such thing as death. Don't be afraid of
so that. Many people say what you are saying from different disciplines. You think that, though, that the end of our physical existence...
Not everybody. There's going to be survivors. There are places of safety in this world that we can go to.
Everybody will immediately say where?
Yeah, we hear you know, something in Canada, and we hear something in the South Pacific and various places like that. The safest place is the Colorado Rockies, that is because Colorado has very few earthquake faults, for one thing, and the Rockies will rise higher. They will not sink. And there's going to be a lot of sinking and rising of lands during the earthquakes, and combined with a lot of chaotic other things going on in the world among the nations and the peoples.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an inner and outer war happening. We need to keep our calm. That's the bottom line. Be calm.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lockwood. Hello.
Yes. Hi, Art. Hi, Wendy. You're talking to one of the survivors. I'm a prophet and a teacher of the children of the future.
Oh, goodness.
And I have seen many of the things that you're talking about.
Oh, thank you, dear.
And I think part of the evidence or proof that you're looking for might be the City of Rocks State Park in New Mexico. It seems to be an ancient foundation, a very, very old foundation built by giants. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I had visions of these very large, off-colored beings that had built it, and I really quandered about it until I heard you talk about the Atlanteans being giants tonight, and I was wondering if you were aware of the City of Rocks.
Well, I know a lot about some of the ancient cities in the southwestern area. For instance, I don't know about that one. I've never heard of that one. But I know there are a lot of ruins down there, and the Grand Canyon itself was where the site of a great city that was bombed by, it was bombed by atomic, it was created, the Grand Canyon was created by atomic destruction.
Really?
And there are places along the Grand Canyon you could see that are blackened from smoke, just tremendous areas that are blackened. There are pyramids within the Grand Canyon, one of the biggest ones on this continent within the Grand Canyon, but it's underground, there are underground pyramids. This was an underground pyramid.
And you believe that the pyramids are the portal to what is below.
They're portals to below and above, because they are also teleportation points to other planets.
Okay, stargates, if you will. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lockwood. Hi.
Hello.
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 Yes, where are you?
I'm from Alabama.
Okay.
Can I just be just as simple? Seems like everybody that's calling in they're just so noted on books and everything. But she speaks of a lot of books, and the greatest book that was ever written is the Bible itself. So to any Bible, any book, it speaks of a great flood, and a flood could get rid of any city, or cities, or continents.
Yes.
And I have a place down at the river. And we have a flood drainage right before our place.
Yes.
And there's foundations and there's cars and things down in there. I believe their city is sunk, but I believe they were sunk from the Bible, from the great flood.
Yeah. The Great Flood in the Bible.
Ma'am.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ma'am, what did you want to say?
Yeah, the Great Flood in the Bible is was the sinking of Atlantis as well.
Okay. Well, that's what, by my river place, that's what I would think. And then, too, the things, the people that she's speaking of, I kind of get a little nauseated inside. It makes me feel like that I can deal with the people here that's human like me, even though we have crimes and destruction there. I think I could deal with them.
In other words, they make us sound good, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've got you, all right. And I guess that is what you're saying, too,
well,
isn't
there's
it?
Good and bad among all of them.
All right, first time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Lockwood. Hi.
Yeah, hi. This is Bill from Nebraska.
Hello, Bill.
How are you tonight?
Fine.
Got a question. I just heard the good doctor just state that the Grand Canyon was somehow...
a nuclear detonation.
Correct.
At one time, yes.
Correct. I was just wondering when she thought this took place.
This took place at the fall of Atlantis, which was 50,000 years ago.
50,000 years ago, there were nuclear...
Only 50,000 years ago.
There was nuclear devices 50,000 years ago?
Oh, they were far, far more advanced than we are.
Technologically beyond where we are right now,
far,
sir.
Far, far. I can remember the cities and the technology they had in those cities. Oh, my goodness.
All right, I'm just curious. I mean, do you believe this also, or are you just...
Yeah, I don't just believe that. I know
whatever it is.
No, I think I've been fairly clear.
You're talking about it.
I don't... Yeah, he's asking me.
Yes.
I'll be as clear with you as I can. I don't believe it, and I don't disbelieve it. However,
you just have a forum for it, then.
I'm interested in it. In other words, as I listen to this doctor, I tend to reject those people who say this is absolute baloney, because too many times what has been said to be absolute baloney turns out to be tomorrow's truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting here and listening. You ask me, do I know it to be true? No.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh, I don't.
It's interesting. I do find your show, though, fascinating for, you know, you have forums where you get, you know, different opinions and this and that. But
it's the whole idea.
I just got to go on the record. I find this one a little hard to swallow. But
I hear you. All right, thank you very much.
That's all right. Small bites at a time.
Small bites at a time, huh? Well, you've given us a big bite, though.
I've laid it all out there, and you just pick what you want out of it.
See, that's hard for me too. That's like somebody saying, "Here's Catholicism, take what you want. You reject the rest." Most Catholics will say, "You can't do that. That's cherry picking. You can't do that. Either you believe or you don't believe." But you're easier than that, huh?
Oh, definitely, because life is supposed to flow, and it's supposed to be very flexible. And we take only what fits into our sense of reasoning.
Uh-huh.
And in the beginning, when we first start to learn things, like now, a lot of people out there are beginning to learn this. No, they can't. They can't believe it, and I didn't either when I first heard about it. We can't believe anything until we learn more about it. We can't make any sense out of anything until we learn more about it.
That's absolutely correct.
The natural flow of life.
If I've learned anything, I've learned not to reject things out of hand.
Right.
And I certainly don't reject all of this out of hand. A lot of it is supported by geologic knowledge that is just now being discovered. I mean, gosh, folks, pyramids under the sea near Japan, pyramids all over this continent in the Southwest, in South America, and the ones we know about, that we can examine and walk in Egypt. So, you know, there's a lot of potential support for all of this, but in a way, I'm with that caller. Beings under Earth and all the rest of it, I have a tough time with it. But you're not the first guest, Doctor, to come along and say it. Believe me, you're not the first. So I'm open-minded about it.
That's fine. I can bring you some references, give you references to read.
All right. Doctor, I'm going to stop it here, and I'm going to be thoughtful about this, and if you would send me something, I would very much appreciate it.
I would. Do you mind if I mention my publication?
Not one bit. Go ahead.
All right. I send out a publication once per month. Actually, I have a publishing partner who has one as well. It's called The Web of Light, and my web came before this web that we have in the computers. And my address is 9462 Rimrock, one word, pardon me, Road, Sonora, S-O-N-O-R-A, California, 95370. They're $2 per month, $20 per year. I give a lot of prophecy, and I give a lot of the new teachings of the New Age that's coming in. Everything I give has been proven to the maximum degree I can.
All right, give that address one more time.
Okay. Web of Light, Dr. W. Lockwood.
All right.
Web of Light.
Right.
9462 Rimrock Road, Sonora, California. 95370.
All right. Good enough. Doctor, thank you for being with us, and have a good morning.
Thank you.
Take care. That's Dr. Wendy Lockwood, and one take, folks, on Atlantis. Interesting. Open lines when we come back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired August 14th, 1997.
Good morning. I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. Well, what did you think about the last 2 hours? Some of you who have been around for a while will remember Dr. Fred Bell. And in my mind, not expanded sufficiently to accept all I just heard, I put Dr. Lockwood with Dr. Fred Bell. In other words, I'm not exactly sure that I am prepared to reject it as some of the faxers did, you know, and some of the people say, total garbage. Not there, nor am I prepared to accept what I heard as plausible in my own mind right now. So it's somewhere in between, intrigued. She sounded very self-assured. And so I listened to different things. And for those of you joining us at this hour, Dr. Wendy Lockwood was here talking about Atlantis and what once was and what is now below our Earth. Something to definitely think about. Tomorrow night, we're going to go in a different direction, and Kathy Keaton is going to be here. Now, you may not know who Kathy Keaton is. She is Bob Guccione's wife. Kathy Keaton we'll ask her tomorrow night, had or has, or is in remission with, a very serious cancer that was just about to kill her. And I know that many of you have been asking and waiting for her to arrive on the air, and she will be here indeed tomorrow night. Following Kathy Keaton tomorrow night, am I telling the truth about that? Let's see. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. She'll be here Friday night, Saturday. See, I've got it all mixed up. Friday night, Saturday. Kathy Keaton will be on first, and then Dr. J. Gordon Melton will be here. Dr. Melton will be talking about vampires. Vampires. He is a director for the Institute for the Study of American Religion in Santa Barbara, California. He was born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama, graduated from Birmingham Southern College, has pastored churches in Indiana and Illinois, and he's going to be here talking about vampires. Interesting, huh? So Kathy Keaton, and we've got a lot to ask her, a very great deal to ask her. And then Dr. J. Gordon Melton. That'll be probably around midnight. You know, I'm sort of giving you guesses as we go here. So that's some of what I've got lined up. Actually, that will be tomorrow night. See, I'm missing a day. By the way, if you would like to see what a fidget looks like, the only quick and dirty way I could think to do it was to take a studio cam photo of it. And so if you go up there now, and I'm going to leave it up there for you for about another half hour, all right, on the website, go to the website and just click on where it says studio cam. Normally you see a picture of my mug sitting here doing the program. What you will see is a quick and dirty shot of the fidgets. Yes, the fidgets arrived. Isn't that strange? I thought there was a day between now and Friday night Senate. Of course, as you know, I was not here last night. So indeed, tomorrow night is Friday night, Saturday morning. And so I was right the first time around. Kathy Keaton and J. Gordon Melton. It should be a very interesting evening, as will the balance of this, which will be open lines. All right, UPS and the Teamsters continue to talk, and that's a good sign. There are some very small signs of movement. UPS, for example, may be flexible on its dispute with the union over pensions. But he also said, the company rep, that the final offer is on the table, and yet indicating they might be open to some change. So everybody cross their fingers because this strike needs to end. But we have discussed that to no end here. Here's what I think I would like to talk to you about. A federal judge in Denver Thursday formally sentenced Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh to death by injection. McVeigh, who has rarely spoken in public, was allowed to speak before the sentencing and quoted the late Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis as saying, quote, here's what I want to talk about, quote, our government is the hope and omnipotent teacher for good or ill. It teaches the whole people by its example. End quote. McVeigh's attorneys would not comment on why he quoted Brandeis. In my opinion, that quote used by McVeigh as the only thing he said when he got the death sentence is Mr. McVeigh's way of saying, the government made me do it. Isn't that what he was saying here? Isn't that what this is all about? The government made me do it. Our government is a hope, an omnipotent teacher for good and will, ill. It teaches the whole people by its example. Isn't that the same as saying the government made me do it? I think that's exactly what he's saying. The government made me do it. Do you see anything deeper? Do you see it as some reason why he should not be receiving the death penalty for what he did? It is interesting that was his only comment. And in it, that's what I find. He's probably referring to many things the government has done with Waco in his mind being the last straw. And so quoting Justice Brandeis is a way of saying, I did it to get back at the government. The government taught me what to do. the government kills, so I killed. Is that right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
The founder, Mr. Fidget. Unbelievable. How are you, Art?
You have got to be kidding.
I'm not kidding. I'm completely serious.
It is impossible that you could have made it in like this.
I have the power. Clearly, it's demonstrated by my works. Now, I'm glad you got the fidgets. I really am. And I'm curious as to why you didn't repeat me on the second hour on the repeat. I don't understand why you chose to edit me out and replay the first half of the second hour again.
What are you talking about?
Well, on the other day, on Tuesday, when I was on at the end of the second hour. And on the rebroadcast, on all the stations, they cut me out. They cut that second half of the second hour out and replayed the first half of the second hour again.
Well, I wasn't listening, so I don't know.
I thought maybe it was very controversial. And
no.
I was
no,
curious.
No. Nothing is too controversial.
Well, let me say, Art, I'm glad you got my fidgets because it proves what I'm saying. That they're neat and they're clever and they do demonstrate laws. You know the square one?
Yeah.
The square flat one? That is the only object I've ever seen that changes from square to round to rhomboid to oval. It's a math law.
Yeah, it does that.
In the center, you got 4 points,
yep.
Surrounded by 8 points.
Yep.
4 and 8 is 12. That's the number of points on the outside. Also, the number of signs in the zodiac.
I don't believe you got through.
I told you, Art, I know your phone system better than you do.
No, you don't. That's impossible. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 active lines right now.
It's inconceivable. Everybody is going to swear that we're in cahoots or something.
I know it. It's not possible.
Truth is, I'm standing at a payphone, Art. Absolutely. I'm at a payphone. Hear the delivery truck in the background?
Prove it.
Okay, here, I'll pick up the other phone next door. There's the dial phone from the other phone. Here's the other phone hanging up. See, I'm a dual dialer, Art. I dial on two lines simultaneously. Because I'm fully ambidextrous, I've been using these fidgets for 6 years, I got a dexterity that you wouldn't believe. I really want to be studied. I'm prepared to get on the EKG. They can look at me, figure out what's wrong with me or what's great with me. But the reality is, I'm super skilled. Wait till you see my hands in motion with these fidgets. I will blow anybody's dexterity away, reaction time, ability, because I've been practicing every day for 6 years.
Wait a minute.
Okay,
what city are you in?
I'm in Santa Cruz, California.
Santa Cruz. All right. Is there anybody around you right now?
There's a guy sweeping the floor in the grocery store.
And that's where you are? You're adjacent, outside or inside or what?
Yeah, I'm outside of a grocery store. How'd you like the comic book, Art? Yeah, there's a truck driver over there. He's loading up the truck. Or it's the bagel guy delivering bagels.
Is there anybody there that you could call to the phone?
To confirm my story? Hey,
yeah.
Buddy, can you confirm something for me? Yeah, I got this guy walking over from a truck. He's curious. So, Art, I'm on the line.
Yes.
Okay,
well, yes.
Why can't we have me as a guest right now? Have some people who've got fidgets call in, maybe some, you know, who knows?
I'm not saying we can't,
okay.
Actually.
That would be fun.
So is this guy walking over, or is he think you're crazy as a loon?
There's a guy with a clipboard and another guy. Fidget Man, yeah, that's me.
Now how could he know you?
He wants a fidget. Were you listening to Art Bell? Every night this guy listens. Shaking my hand here.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Stop. Bring him to the phone.
Okay.
Put him on.
Yeah, I'll put him on the phone. Here, you're on the air live. Hey, Art.
Hello there. Do you know this man?
No, I'm making a delivery. I just heard you on the radio.
What kind of work do you do?
Delivery for local stores.
And you listen to my program?
Yeah, and I pulled up one of our stores is by where this guy was calling, and I heard him say that he was at two payphones and using two hands.
And he's telling the truth?
Well, I mean,
there are two payphones there. He's outside of a grocery store, and you're making a delivery. All that's true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I heard it just as I was pulling up. He talked about a delivery truck, and I jumped out and yelled Art Bell, and he waved me over.
And what town are you in, please?
This is Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
Absolutely true. I don't know if these things work, but never met the guy. But it's absolutely true. He's standing right here.
Well, you're a real trooper to have been doing that, to come to the phone like this. And,
oh, well, it's a thrill for me to talk to you.
Well, it's a thrill for me to talk to you, and it's even weirder to talk to the fidget guy.
Yeah, I bet.
You have no idea how weird it is. It's almost impossible that he got through. I mean, almost impossible. I go to open lines, and there he is from a payphone. Damn near impossible.
Well, he's got some sort of a digital stopwatch or something here by one of the payphones. I don't know what that's doing. But, he seems for real. Looks like a local Santa Cruz character. I don't know if you've ever been here. But
I've been to Santa Cruz. I know Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz has characters. You're right. All right. Well, bless your heart. What's your first name?
Troy.
Troy.
Yeah.
Troy, thank you very much. I guess you better go back to work.
I better. You want to talk to the fidget man?
Absolutely.
All right, Art. Thanks a lot. Okay, Art. This is a... Oh, I'm going to give this guy a fidget. There, it's a gift. Complimentary fidget there. Just a time travel with it. Well, it's R&D. You know, you're on the research team by proxy of possession.
Tell him to listen to the radio.
Yeah, Art says to listen to the radio when you get back in your truck there. 15 minutes he's got to make his delivery.
I see. Yeah, I don't know if I believe all this. My God, it's a puzzle. But to the audience, I will say, hey, audience, I swear to you.
On a stack of holy moly.
Whatever. I didn't. This is not a set. They're going to think it's a setup.
Of course they are. I mean,
I'm the only one who can know for sure that I punched this button and there you were. It's not possible. Listen, there are people who have tried to call this program for a year and a half, dialing every night.
I know. It's my lightning fast reflexes, Art.
Yeah?
And, you want me to break it down to you? Or, I mean, do you want me to tell you what I do? Or, I mean, because if I do,
I won't
be able to do it anymore. You got to give me my word. You'll call me at that number that I sent you and give me a number where I can get in, because once I tell people this, you're going to have 100 people out doing it. And God only knows what will happen to the phone company.
You're referring to how you got in.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to know.
Okay.
If there is some interesting method for you to get in, I don't really want to have it on the air, because you're right, the phone company will just go absolutely crackers.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't remain a secret method if you tell it.
That is true.
But I am astounded.
I thought the results would speak for themselves, you know.
They believe me, they do.
Thank you.
They absolutely do. All right. I've got a picture, kind of a poor one, albeit, but the best I could do quickly, of the fidgets.
Did you do all five of them? You put all five of them up there?
Yes, I did.
How do you like that custom-built, beautiful little one? You like that?
I do. I like them all.
That I really believe, the little one with the three links. Oh, by the way, the guaranteed method to quit smoking.
I wonder if I should say that I like them, or that I am... No, I'm interested in them. They're intriguing, and maybe more. That's all I can say right now.
I understand. You know, my first day when I invented the fidget, you know, Drywall Tony, he got the first fidget within 10 minutes of me making it. And my life has been a blur ever since, Art.
Drywall Tony?
Yeah, he's in the comic book. You didn't read the first page of the comic book?
I'm sorry. My wife did. I didn't read the comic book.
Oh, it's hilarious. You'll love it. It's absolutely comical. A friend of mine, an artist named Matt down in Phoenix, drew that whole comic book for me just for a set of fidgets. He loved it so much, he spent hours and hours to put that together. And you know, all the aliens are fictitious. It has little aliens in there, and it says, like, little did the human know the forces that had been set into motion, although he would soon unfold them himself. It was all, we were trying to find a funny way to portray them, and we figured that since they're all made with circles, there's probably no aliens that wouldn't understand something simple like this, you know? It wouldn't escape them. You know, it's just us silly humans that don't understand how things work.
Well, can you explain how the fidget works? Is that possible? I've got a break coming up. I'm just asking in general terms right now.
Yeah.
Whether you can explain how these darn interesting things work.
I can explain how my experience with them evolved, and I've experienced practicing with the physics of it, trying to understand the physics. But
All right.
Okay.
All right. Hold on.
I'll
stay
hold
by
on.
Your phone there,
yes,
and I'll bring you back after the break, all right?
Thanks, Art.
unbelievable. Be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997.
Well, there are times when even I am just stopped. Stopped cold. And I think we've reached one of those junctures. I have on the line the inventor of the fidget. I got my fidgets yesterday. I took a photograph of my fidgets this evening before showtime and put it up on the studio cam. That's where it still is. Five total fidgets. You're probably sitting there saying, what the hell is a fidget? And rightly so. That you should be saying that. I will tell you what little I know in a moment. And the man who invented the fidget, incredibly, impossibly, is on the phone. And all I can do is, I swear to you, I swear to all of you, on my honor, with what I do here, this wasn't set up. You know, I plucked this call, as I plucked them all without a guest, out of thin air, and there he was. He said, and he has said for several days, that he can do this at will. And he has proven it. He's proven it. He's just done it again. And so this time I am holding him on the line a little bit. Because I think I want to know more. If you do, then stay there. All I can tell you is, on my honor, I swear to you, this was no setup. This guy was just there. And then the truck driver came up and verified he was listening, too. So, it's paid off with a fidget, too. Anyway, we will get back to our fidget guy in a moment. All right. He's not sure that the phone is going to accept a call, and I haven't made it yet. I've got to make it right now. This is weird. Radio sometimes is so weird, so I'm going to have to try to call him back to this payphone. If it doesn't accept it, then I've got, he just gave me his home phone, and I can try that in 15 minutes. Right now, I'm trying a payphone, and I can tell it's a payphone. Let's see if it works. Let's see.
Art Bell. It worked.
All right, it worked. Good.
That's amazing. So there's a couple gentlemen here that heard this on the radio and showed up here at the supermarket. This guy just wants to say hi to Art Bell. Here he is. Hey, Art. I've been listening to you since the Roswell thing.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate your wisdom and
What I like about you is how you suspend judgment and just let a person talk and share their view, and later you say, well, I'm not sure, I don't know, and I think it's a wonderful quality.
Well, thank you.
And I like your laugh.
Do you know this man?
No. I live in Santa Cruz, probably seen him before. He looks like one of many of us. I'm just a struggling artist myself. I guess he makes things. And I've seen him before.
Where exactly in Santa Cruz are you? What grocery store?
Are you on the air right now?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, you are? Okay. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, is it Otto's? It's near a... That's a Thrifty's, right? No, Long's.
It's a Long's?
Uh-huh. You're going to have a crowd down here pretty soon.
A Long's where in
Long's,
Santa Cruz?
It's near the river. It's on River Street near Soquel Drive.
Yeah, I know the area.
Yeah, they're tearing apart a bridge right now.
And you swear on all that's holy that you don't know this guy. You just came down there.
I'm listening to you on the radio. I'm wondering, are you going to have another repeat tonight? I think, well, is this a repeat? I just kind of came into it. Now, wait a minute. The day before yesterday, you were talking about these things. Now, the guy, I walk up to the guy, he says, yeah, I'm the guy, and he hands me one. He made it in front of my eyes. He hands me one. There's another guy who came about 8 miles. He was handed another one. So this is for real.
All right.
It's strange. I mean, I kiddingly asked him if this is a repeat tonight.
It's more than strange. No, it's not a repeat. You know, you're sitting here talking.
I wouldn't
and, you
be
know,
here, would it? Would I?
Good point, sir.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much,
okay.
And I appreciate that. Hand the phone back.
Keep up your good work, okay? We
right.
need you.
Uh-huh, thank you.
Here you go.
All right.
Sorry about that, Art, although, I mean, everybody deserves their fair voice, you know?
All right. Now, for the sake of my own sanity,
okay,
please tell us the story of the fidget.
Okay. In 1991, I was riding my bicycle, and my chain broke. I was on my way to a meeting. When I replaced the chain, it was a couple links too long. So I trimmed those two links out, I put them in my pocket, I fixed the chain, and I went to the meeting with greasy hands late.
Okay.
Got into the meeting, I'm sitting in there, it's a boring meeting, I'm fidgeting around in my pocket, I find these links, and I just start pulling them out, and I'm just looking at them and just fidgeting. And I'm looking at Einstein's law. If you take the key ring out of the simple fidget, you have just the three links of chain. And you have a little cause and effect thing, you know, you bang one into the other and it flips back and forth and whatnot.
It does, yes.
And I was thinking, boy, that's neat. I wonder what would happen if I put a key ring in there. So I put the key ring in, and within just seconds, Art, the guy next to me said, what you got there? And I said, I'm not sure. Here, take a look. And he said, wow, this is great. I'm trying to quit smoking. Can I have it?
Yeah.
I gave it to him.
Yeah.
And my life has been a blur ever since.
Well, it's kind of strange because my wife earlier today said, this would be a way to quit smoking.
Absolutely, 100% guaranteed. My mother quit after 29 years smoking as a long-haul truck driver. She's been quit for 4 years. She quit using the fidget and the nicotine patch, and here's the 100% guaranteed method. All you have to do is promise to fidget instead of smoke and keep your promise.
Well,
if you break your promise, you got to treat it like a laundry promise. You know, I'm going to do laundry today, and then you don't do it.
Okay, but there's got to be more to the fidget than that. There is something that relates to travel in time or... It alters a present reality of some sort?
Well, what we've got going on, Art, is we're all stressed people. We all have
That's
heavy things
fact.
On our minds.
Oh,
we've
man.
Got bills, and we've got laws to obey, and we've got responsibilities to take care of, and it weighs on us as people.
Tell me about stress.
Oh, yeah, I can't imagine what you go through. I mean, I saw that little spot on the TV the other day. And it really gave me a good idea. I was glad to see that as my fidgets were going out to you because it gave me an idea of who they were going to physically in addition to, you know, just your sound.
You saw me on TBS or something?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it was great. On Topics. Yeah, it was great.
All right. Now, try and explain to me, if you're able to, how the fidget has some application in travel and time or in altering present reality. Because
that's where I was going with the stresses. You see, because we have these stresses on us, and we all fidget in some way. We play with the material of our clothing. We bite our nails. We twirl our hair. We, you know, pick our nose and clean out our ear. You know, we got a lot of things we do for stress. But the key is we need to activate something. We need circumstances in our control when there are other circumstances outside of our control. And that, I think, is the secret to the fidget. It's circumstances in your control. If you're waiting in line or in traffic, if you've got a fidget, at least you can distract your mind to the fact that you're being told to wait, you know, and And that is the secret to me. Now, the wing nuts, and I hate to call them that, but people who say that they went back to 1986 and ended up in a whole different room or whatever, God help these people, you know, because I don't know about that. I've never left this time zone or anything like that, but I have had the most stressful times in my life relieved by having something to put that negative energy into, the stress and the waiting. And I wanted to say something in regard to the Tuesday night call. Let me say this one thing. It's very important.
All right.
You asked, you know, did I want to get rich or whatever, and I ended up with saying, well, I want to be wealthy, and then you cut me off. And what I mean there is I want a wealth of opportunity. You see, true wealth is a wealth of opportunity. The man who has $1 million has a million things to do with it and a million people after him to get it. Real wealth is the guy who has a dollar and has a million places to put it at his convenience. That's my power because I can make a dollar anytime with my fidget. People show up out of nowhere, say, hey, do you have one of those fidgets? And there's my dollar for my pizza. It won't always be like that in my life, but that to me is my wealth. It's a wealth of opportunity. When I walk by somebody and they're sitting on the ground and saying, hungry, will work for food, if I give them a fidget, I give them something that empowers them to at least have something to do. And that's what my life is all about.
Fidget should not be eaten, by the way.
Absolutely not, no. Absolutely.
Anyway, look, you did, though, make some reference to an altered state or time travel.
Right, when I talked about leaving this physical dimension, yeah, right? I think that's what you're referring to. Careful, that's all recording up there. Okay, all right, good, thanks. One of these fellows was screwing with my equipment there. when I say time travel, I mean the ability to make time accelerate, okay? You're sitting in a class, and it's a boring class, and it's not interesting you, and you start fidgeting, all of a sudden the class is over. If you play with those fidgets there, Art, you know, and I know the distinctive sounds, I can even tell which fidget you're playing with at which time.
All right, but what's the difference between a fidget and my sitting here with a pen, right, and going on the table? In other words...
Well, the difference is that the pen is a free form. You're not adapting to a process. You're creating the process that you're using. When you use a fidget, you have to adapt to its process, you know, and as a result of that, there's some level of structure that your mind acknowledges as accomplishing something.
So then you are really suggesting that the fidget has unique properties in the sense that it alters your present reality in a way that sitting here with a pen and or sitting here and fooling with your clothing or whatever else you might do to fidget otherwise.
Exactly. When you fidget like that with a pen, you're just, you know, putting that impulse out. I believe that when you fidget with a fidget, and by the way, we need to be specific, it's a linky fidget, okay, because I don't want this guy on the East Coast to get all stressed out about me calling these things fidgets. So I believe the word fidgeting is a verb, okay, and I don't know how you trademark a verb. I've never heard of it. So I call it a linky fidget. That's the name of it. Like slinky, but just linky.
A linky fidget.
A linky fidget. It's a perfect name. Works great. Very descriptive. So as far as the time travel, I don't know that you can go forward and backward in time, but I know, and as I said the other night on the air, that you can make the stressful times that you're in more comfortable by having a fidget. And you'll notice as you go through these broadcasts, if you fidget a little bit, the time will go a little bit quicker. And that's my experience.
Well, I never have a problem with my programs going quickly.
Of course not.
I really don't, because I love doing them. That's not a problem. The problem is when I'm not doing them. And you talked about stress.
Oh, yeah.
And it is unique that you would talk about stress right now, because I have more stress than you can possibly imagine, a lot of it which I can't talk about. But I have a great deal of stress, and I had an interesting encounter, which I was not prepared to talk about tonight, with regard to your fidget.
Mm-hmm.
Fidgets. Plural. I would like to allow the audience to ask you some questions.
I'd be happy to answer, Mark. It's all I've ever dreamed of, was to be able to deal with people on an open forum and answer. You know, that's all I do when I walk around down here on the Pacific Garden Mall or wherever. It's amazing, Art, because, I'll talk to you about it sometime off the air, but, you know, the way that the system has dealt with me, it's amazing. You would not believe how many people turn a blind eye to the fidget guy, okay? It's ridiculous. We're talking all over the country. But what are they going to do, you know? Would they rather see me spare and change? Would they rather see me breaking into a car and taking somebody's stereo? No, they'd rather see me selling fidgets, but I'm like a Rain Man dude in some ways.
Well, if you weren't selling fidgets or many times giving them away. Is that what you would be doing, breaking into cars?
No. I'm using that as an example in the sense of when people are – everybody has to do something. And in the past, I've made animal balloons for kids. I've painted people's addresses on the curbs. I've sold magazine subscriptions door-to-door, cleaner door-to-door. You name it, I've sold it. I've sold the Ginsu knife, the Wonder Chamois, the supercar polish, the aluminum welding rod, the swivel sprayers that go in your sink. You name it, I've sold it. But this is the first thing I created myself. I want to share a real brief little story.
All right.
I got involved in the oil and gas investment business when I was, what was that? It must have been 19. Maybe 21. I forget. My whole time perception is screwed up.
What haven't you done? That's because you fidget too much. What haven't you been doing in your life? It sounds like you've done a little bit of almost everything.
You wouldn't believe it, Art. I met Anthony Robbins. I gave him a fidget.
Who's Anthony Robbins?
Anthony Robbins is a real powerful motivator. Guy does seminars and stuff. I gave him a fidget. I could go through a list of musicians that would blow your mind, Art Bell. Jerry Garcia, The Dead, David Wilcox, Point Egg Pondering, Acoustic Junction, The Samples, Merle Saunders, George Thorogood, Papa Bonton, shook his hand, gave him a fidget.
Really?
Some of these people got them directly from me. Some got them through their promoters and their channels. Anytime I go to a concert, the act gets a fidget on me. And I'll tell you what, Art, I've never paid for a concert. The first concert I ever went to was free. I snuck into Elvis, and ever since then, I've been going to concerts for free. I just won't pay.
You don't think he's alive, do you?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. Here comes another fellow, probably heard it on the radio. He's wandering up to the payphone. Got a little group of folks here. We got a Scoutmaster here that wandered up.
Now that's good.
Yeah, Boy
Scoutmaster.
Scoutmaster is
good.
Absolutely, he's right here.
Put him on.
Okay, here's the
Scoutmaster. I don't believe all this.
Hi, my name is Todd, Art.
Hello, Todd.
And I can't believe this. I do listen to you late at night. This is true. Oh, I just got my picture taken. Someone else just came
what?
Up. What?
Pardon? How would he know you're a Scoutmaster?
Oh, because I'm still wearing my uniform. I was at a Boy Scout meeting tonight, and I was on my way home. I drove in my driveway, and I was listening to him, and the fidget man came back on. I listened to him on Tuesday night.
Right, and so you were listening on the radio, and you got in your car, and you drove down there?
And I basically, Santa Cruz isn't that big. I hit a couple of stores, and all of a sudden, I found him.
You swear Scout's honor.
First law of Boy Scout law is that Scout is trustworthy. I'm serious. I mean, I could give you the phone number of the Scout office if you wanted.
Somehow I feel like Rod Serling ought to be coming on next, you know? Here's a guy out of it's a telephone booth or a couple of telephones on the side of the store, right?
There is. Yeah, we're in front of, I think it's Zanata's. It's two phone booths here and right downtown Santa Cruz. Seriously? Yeah, it's dark. Okay, the lights are turned out. There's like four cars here in the parking lot. And I can't believe I found him. And as soon as I walked up, he gave me a fidget.
He did?
Incredible gentleman.
What's your take on that simple little fidget?
You know what? I've been playing with it ever since I got here. I love it. You know, and you know why?
Why?
Because I'm kind of a nervous kind of guy, you know, one of those type A personalities.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm always got to go do something.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I never get enough sleep. And it's like, I can guarantee you I'm going to have this in my pocket forever. You know, what else can I say? It's such a simple little device.
I don't know. I'm almost speechless myself.
I am.
Because all of this is almost impossible to have occurred.
From
the first phone call I got from him to the discussion of fidgets to the arrival of fidgets to his being able to get through tonight, first time out of the chute like that,
yeah.
To people like you coming by now, it's all a little much for me.
I didn't hear it on Friday. I did hear about it Tuesday night. He described how to make one. I said, you know, I got to make one of those. And then I didn't know he was in Santa Cruz. And when he came on tonight, I'm going, oh, this is insane. I've got to see if I can find him. I didn't even get out of the car. I mean, it's like, you know, normally I'd, you know, take my uniform off because, you know, I deal with the scouts. I don't run around here with a scout, you know.
Why would you have a scout uniform on at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I was going to this meeting, and we got done with the meeting. We always talk late after after the meeting, you know, how scouters will, because
yeah.
it's an adult scout meeting to plan for youth.
Oh, activities. I see. All right.
So,
well, listen, we're at the top of the hour, so hand the phone back to the fidget guy.
I certainly will.
And I really appreciate your coming on. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Too weird. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997.
Well, good morning. It was destined, I believe, that I would do weird things in radio, and weird things would happen to me in radio. And I'll try and summarize this and where we are and where we aren't with fidgets. I'll try in a minute. Too weird. Okay. Now, we're going back now to Santa Cruz. Hello there.
Hey, Art.
Mr. Fidget Man.
Yes, sir.
All right, here you are once again. Now,
you wouldn't believe the crowd here. We got 2, 4, 6, 8 cars and like 12 people. And the guy from Radio Free Santa Cruz stopped by the pirate radio station local. He's listening. He's broadcasting on one side and listening on the other.
Oh, no.
Yes, sir.
Really?
Absolutely. Yep. He stopped right by. He's had a fidget for 9 months or so.
Put him on.
Oh, no. He took off.
He's gone already.
Yeah, he came and went. He needed a new fidget. He'd lost his fidget. So I've been giving fidgets away here, Art. No sales. Just
how many? How many fidgets do you usually carry on your person?
Oh, well, you know, I don't want to go out usually without 20.
20 fidgets.
Yeah, 20 fidgets. That's going to be a healthy night of experience for me. You know, I can only make this amazing contact with so many people a day before I burn up, you know?
Yeah, I understand. Yesterday when they came in, we put them, we of course, well, actually, I'm not, I don't even know if I'm ready to go into that right now, but cats like fidgets. I can tell you that much. Two of them disappeared, and I thought, oh, my God. But it was my cats. Now, how they managed to carry away these things, I don't know, but they did. What I would like to do is, I guess, let you talk to my audience and let them ask questions.
Let's do it.
All right. Listen, everybody. For a little while longer, I'm going to leave this photograph up on the studio cam of the fidgets. I put it up there prior to airtime. And so let's just go to the phone and see what happens. This is just all too weird. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the fidget guy.
Yes, I have a question.
I can barely hear you.
Oh, okay, sorry. I have a question. Is there a way I can buy these, like a number or something like that? or like a website I can get it?
Well, maybe. Is there a fidget website?
We're working on that right now. I got offers. People showing up here offering to put me on the web. And by the way, we had a guy stop by with a digital camera, and he's going to go home, and he'll email you some pictures
some JPEGs of this whole thing. Me standing at the payphone,
yeah.
Scoutmaster, the whole shebang.
Really?
Yes, sir.
He's going to send me a photograph of that.
Yeah, he's going to email it to
you
right away.
Yeah, with a digital camera, he'd be able to do that.
Yep, and oh, by the way, Art, too, some of these photos, I don't know what you're going to get or not. I'm trying to kind of reserve my physical image. Okay, I want to be a cartoon character, okay? Because I want to be able to go into Denny's in 5 years and get a grand slam over medium with all bacon without having people go, it's the fidget guy, you know? And so I'll be cartoon, just like in the comic book. My voice and my persona will always be there.
Well, what's going to happen, though, if he sends a picture of you at the phone there in Santa Cruz?
No, we had him take a picture of my hands and the phone, and we had him take pictures of, you know, so that my physical form could be, you know, it's like I'm not afraid of it, Art, but it's like...
You don't want to be a celebrity.
Well, it's not even... I'm already a celebrity because the fidgets are coast to coast. But
in other words, you want to be able to walk around the streets without everybody going, ooh, the fidget guy, right?
Exactly, Art. You understand what I mean, don't you?
I do. I absolutely do. Believe me, I do.
So it's like the foresight of that is like, well, I'll be prepared. So what's this caller's question?
He had two questions. He asked...
about the website.
Yep, and
we're
he asked...
working on it.
And he asked where he could get a fidget, of course. You know, my fax machine is burning up with people wanting to know where to get fidgets.
Oh, God only knows. Well, here's the thing, Art. I've been trying to make this happen for 6 years, and I've made every one until my hands are sore, as many as I can every day, and I have had a demand in excess of supply since the very moment I made the first one, and it went away from me within a few moments. Like,
so the fact of the matter is, if you had a landslide of fidget orders, you probably couldn't even meet them anyway, could you?
Yeah, I got several thousand in stock right now, but it's going to take some doing. Here's what I'm going to do, Art, is I'm going to align myself with some kind of company. Whatever company gives me the best offer to produce and distribute these fidgets, okay, I'll let them do it. I'll promote them, but I'm going to the nonprofit sector. I want to see what benefit these fidgets can be for people in traumatic scenarios. I was dropped off by my third set of foster parents at a group home when I was 16 because they were unhappy with my behavior and unwilling to go through what it took to help me.
Were you a problem?
Oh, Art, I was hell on wheels. The first day of first grade, I skipped school. I'm not kidding.
The first day of first
Absolutely.
Grade?
Absolutely. They called my father in the next morning, and the principal said, you know, we just can't have your son leaving school like this. And
yeah.
And my dad said, well, if you can't make it interesting enough for him to want to be here, there's not much I can do to keep him here. And that was the beginning of a saga that spans school in Florida, South Carolina, Virginia, Michigan, Missouri, and Colorado before I was 10 years old.
So you don't quite fit into the usual mold.
Oh, no, I'm definitely an oddball. Self-admitted.
All right. East of... Good guy.
Hi.
Hello there.
I'm sorry. Goodness, I'm so surprised I'm listening to... Just turn the radio off.
Yep, just turn it off.
Listening to his philosophy. What is his philosophy?
Let's ask him. I don't know. What's your philosophy?
I told him, and he said that it was a digital photo guy.
Okay, come
my
on. The lady is asking.
I understand. Yeah, my philosophy. Art, boy, I told you this on my very first call I ever called into your program. I called in under the alias of Sam, and I told you that I really felt that if everybody in this world would just leave each place a little bit better than they found it, the world would be a better place to live in. That's my philosophy, is take responsibility for your own actions. Don't expect somebody else to clean up after you. And if you put that little extra bit of effort out, you'll be welcome more places than you can possibly get to. That's my personal experience. You know, I believe that some sort of God, higher power runs this planet, and I think the more I define it, the more I limit it.
All right, ma'am.
One more question. I'm just really curious about how old.
Well, that's a good question.
I'll be 29 a week from yesterday.
Oh, okay.
That's 29 years. I'm probably 100,000 linear miles old. In the last 6 months, I've been in Phoenix, Tucson, Las Vegas, all over.
It's all relative.
Relative, yeah. Thank you very much.
Very interesting man.
Where are you, ma'am?
Indiana.
Indiana, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Country, good people.
Ma'am, do you believe me when I tell you this wasn't a setup?
Yeah, I really do. I
hope
believe
so.
In this kind of
spontaneity.
Yes, yes. Sometimes the world just clicks together.
Yeah.
And it's that's what makes life interesting.
But well, it is, ma'am. Thank you. I was sitting here thinking when you got through the break, through the news, all my lines were ringing. They always are. They're all lit up all the time. There's between 10 and 12 million listeners out there in almost 380 markets, radio markets, nationwide and beyond the shores, well beyond. And the odds of any person getting through at any time have got, well, they've got to be
remote.
At least 1,000,000 to 1. Like 1,000,000 to 1. I mean, we get the 800 line reports that tell us how many people are trying to get through in a month that make it and don't make it. They issue those reports. So I'm telling you right now, the odds have got to be 1,000,000 to 1 that you could have made it through like that. I'm sitting here.
I've known I could do it for 5 years, Art, and I've just been waiting for the moment, and I've been preparing myself. And see, this technology is going to be critical to humanity in a way, because it doesn't care what race you are. It doesn't care what your sexual ideology is. It doesn't care what your experiential background is. It works the same for anybody with hands.
You don't want to make money on fidgets? You're going to make a non-profit? You're going to put together some kind of non-profit deal?
Well, what I want to do, because there's a lot of people that want to buy fidgets and pay a fair price, and I've experienced this in the last 6 years, I'm going to find a format in which there's a company that I work with as a consultant or as the creator of the devices in a consulting manner, not in a hands-on logistical management. See, I run away from numbers. I'm afraid of 2 and 5, even though I know it's 7, and times 2 is 14, you know. I'm afraid of that. Because it limits a certain part of my brain I depend on for creativity. So I'm going to go into the nonprofit field and earn a salary for my work,
mm-hmm.
and have my costs of doing business paid, and operate in a philanthropic manner to help people who've gone through the stuff that I've gone through. Art, I'm a survivor of 3 sets of foster parents in addition to my real parents. I've been on the road since I was 4 years old. I've been on the road by myself since I was 16, and I'm 29 years old. I don't have any answers. I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of experiences. I can give traffic directions in 10 states, you know. But I'm not.
And give me. You gave me quite an interesting history of your work history. Do that for me one more time. What is it you've done?
Well, my father started me out on the Pearl Street Mall in Boulder, Colorado, selling pictures of the presidents on their birthdays, these little lithograph prints. When I was 5 years old, he took me to the coffee shop every day instead of putting me in kindergarten. So I learned to communicate with adults at that young age. And then after that, I did all sorts of stuff. I followed the window washer around. I got a job at a movie theater and worked as the ticket taker. I sold at one point oil and gas limited partnerships. Another point, I sold the little gliders you throw and they come back to you in a circle. Another time, you name it. All right, I've sold the chamois, the supercar polish. I've sold the swivel sprayers. There are 1 million people out there that have contacted me and seen me. I've been at the L.A. County Fair in Pomona, the fourth biggest fair in the world, for the last 6 years. People go right by my booth. And as a matter of fact, I've earned quite the reputation as a killer salesperson down there, because one day I was pitching in Pomona at the L.A. County Fair,
yeah.
and this lady keeled over in front of me and had a heart attack right in front of my booth. It was a really hot day, like 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And that's what we call my killer clothes. I hate to say it. You know,
your
God
killer
bless,
clothes.
God rest her soul, you know. It was just really hot. She was kind of overweight. And God bless her. But anyway, I've done a lot, Art.
Do fidgets require any maintenance? Oiling from time to time? Cleaning?
That's going to have to come out on the web. It's going to take the 60,000 users that have these devices to help define it. See, I can give some ideas, some uses, methods, skills, techniques, experiences, and realities regarding these fidgets.
Yeah.
But I can't define something that's going to be here for 150, 250 years, you know, at least, like each. You know,
they probably would last that long, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. I've got a stainless steel one in my pocket here.
Uh-huh.
The shelf life is 10,000 years. I'm going to give it to my great-grandkids.
All right. Back to our public here.
Yes.
First-time caller line, you're on the air with a fidget guy.
Well, I have a comment about Dr. Lockwood. This is Bill from Cleveland Heights, Art.
Well, Bill, Dr. Lockwood's already gone.
She was fascinating. Let him say it, please.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Go ahead.
She got a lot of her information from an organization in New York City. It's in the phone book, called the Lucis Trust. And interestingly enough, it used to be called the Lucifer Publishing Company. How about them apples?
So you think it's all demonic, huh?
Why is it funny?
Because she says she got it in Colorado.
She mentioned the Theosophical Society,
yep.
Which was founded by Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky back in the 1870s, which is still in existence today.
Well, I ask you again. So your take on it is that...
And their symbol is the swastika.
Swastika, and you think it's demonic?
Well,
is that accurate or not?
You better believe it's accurate.
Okay.
I make
you bet your bippy it's accurate.
All right.
Well,
guy, he thinks it's all evil and not Nazis and stuff.
He's not talking about my fidgets. He's talking about this.
No, he's talking about the doctor that was on.
I'm talking about, yes.
Yeah, well,
and the Theosophical Research Society has as its symbol a serpent swallowing its tail, and right above that is the
serpent. Sir, hold on. Hold slow up. The fidget guy wants to ask you.
I'd like to ask you a question.
Okay, sure.
Now, if somebody's behavior doesn't affect you poorly, okay, it may not enrich you, but it doesn't hurt you.
Doesn't hurt me.
Well, what I'm saying is, how to judge somebody based on anything? See, everybody is doing the best that they can in this world. Okay, whether
that's ridiculous.
Well, listen to me for just one second. Okay,
sure.
You got people making decisions. Okay, the guy who breaks in the car and takes the stereo, it's a wrong action. Okay, but somehow in his twisted mind, he felt that that was the correct action. That is a central programming error that we need to help people change.
Okay, you're talking about Plato. That's basically what you're talking about.
Really? I've never read any Plato. I'm a 10th grade dropout. That's experience for me.
But you're still, that's the philosophy of Plato.
Okay, well, Plato probably was a hip dude.
Do you think Plato was a good dude? You know what Plato recommended?
I didn't say a good dude. I said a hip dude.
He said
a
hip.
Dude.
I heard.
Well, you know, Plato recommended that deformed babies upon birth be killed. In his book, The Republic.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Well,
Hitler did lots of wrong things going on in the world. I asked you, what did you do today to make a difference in your personal world?
And do you know that...
Well, no, he asked you a question now.
That Plato was required reading Germany.
Yeah, hold on, Plato. He asked you a question, fair one.
Well, we were talking about Plato.
Well, but he asked you a fair question. I mean, you dealt with Plato. Yeah, go ahead.
I said, what did you do today to make a direct influence in your community, to make a difference, to make things better in your world right there on your block?
I try to follow the teachings. I'm not always successful, but I try to follow, at least to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's nice.
Not Plato. Not Plato.
Okay, Christ said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Would you want people to come on here and start dissing Christ? Okay?
Pardon me?
If you wouldn't want that, then you shouldn't be dissing somebody else's belief. Okay? That is Christ's teaching right there in a nutshell.
That's not Christ's teaching.
Oh, well, you put him in front of me and you have him tell me. Okay?
Christ said to seek the truth.
Okay?
Art, you said you were a seeker of the truth.
Okay? All right.
Art, are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening to this.
Okay, you're a seeker of the truth.
I am, absolutely.
Okay? You and Art both, that's fine. And you both agree that honor, loyalty, and duty are very important.
I do, yes.
I can agree, although there have been times in my life when I didn't understand that as a person, when I made actions that I regret today, although I have learned and gone back and changed my actions.
Well, since we're all not like that guy that you're both talking about, yes, we've all done that, huh?
Yeah. Today,
well,
we're not perfect people.
What you two fellows are talking about is moral relativism. Anything goes. And that's the philosophy of Plato.
Sir, I really appreciate this call, but I want to talk to some of these people that I've met in the last 6 years that have fidgets out
there. Oh, I'm sure you do. You don't want to talk about this, do you? You don't want to talk about Christ. You don't want to talk about the teachings of Christ.
Sir, I'm washed in the blood myself, sir. You're preaching to the choir. Goodbye.
No, I'm not preaching to the choir.
All right, well, but you're preaching is what you're doing, and we don't do that here.
Thank you, Art.
All right, look.
I got a little emotional there.
Well, it's all right. Stay right where you are, and we'll come back after the bottom of the hour, and maybe we'll find some people who have fidgets, all right?
Sure.
All right. All right. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997. Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired August 14th, 1997.
Well, I guess this sometimes is what happens when you just do radio. Good morning, everybody. We're actually talking with the fidget guy, and I still have on my studio cam site pictures of five fidgets that I have received, that I received actually yesterday. And there is a story that goes with what occurred yesterday that I'm not prepared to tell at the moment. Thank you. But for some reason, the fidget guy is really interesting, and I'll let you continue to interact with him as long as there seems to be a reason to do it. If there is. And somehow I feel there is. And I, you know what? I think that he answered the last caller pretty well, too, as a matter of fact. Well, I just realized that I don't know exactly what to call you, so what about...
I'm going to visit my mother, I carried it with me the whole time, guarded it as if it were...
Wait, hello?
Oh, Art,
We're back.
I was
Look.
Talking to the crowd.
The crowd?
Well, it's a small crowd, but it's a crowd. I have a question. The guy here with the digital camera wants to know if he should send the digital photos to you or to Keith.
Well, let's see, Have him send them to Keith.
Keith?
Yes, so, and he can do that. Does he have the address?
Nope.
All right, well, then you might as well send them to me then. That's easier. I have an easier address. It's artbell@aol.com.
Yeah. Oh, it's keith@primenet.com?
Keith R.
Keith R. Okay.
K-E-I-T-H-R.
Yeah, he apparently knows.
All right, keith@primenet.com. So there's a little crowd of people there now?
Yeah, well, I mean, the crowd has diminished a little bit, but, you know, there's still a few folks here. You know, right now I'm in shock, Art. You know, I didn't really, you know, I told my friends, I said, listen to the show tonight, because I will be on. And I went dialing frenzy, planning on getting in. But for you to pick me up first call of the hour,
impossible.
Unprecedented.
Yeah.
Unprecedented.
Impossible, I agree. All right, I'm going to call you Mr. Fidget.
Thank you. That's a good name.
Is it all right?
Yeah, that's fine, although the other Mr. Fidget may have a problem with it, but let me tell him one thing, just like for the record, okay? This is out of my control. I did not choose to be called Mr. Fidget. There's 1,000 people that choose to call me that, and I am...
You mean other people call you that, too?
Exactly. You need to read that first page. As a matter of fact, Art, I'd give you permission, if you care to scan the first page of the comic book and put that on the web, because it explains real clearly what happened.
Okay.
I
can do that.
Start to finish.
I can do that.
Take some calls.
So tell the guy... Yeah, we will. Tell the guy with the digital... If he's got a digital camera, then he can go home right now,
and he
can email Keith as an attachment, and Keith can get it up probably before we're even done talking.
Okay, all right. He's on it. He's going.
All right.
He's doing it.
All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget.
Hello?
If I've got the... Yeah, hello there.
Well, I'm startled. The first time I dialed.
Well, see, it can happen.
It
luck
did.
Of the draw.
Yes, hi.
Where are you?
I'm in Pittsburgh.
Pennsylvania?
Yes.
All right.
And I was wondering if you're still negotiating with the stations here, like you had mentioned, or what was happening with
that. Yes, we are.
That's great. I'm tired of listening to distant...
stations?
Yes.
Okay.
I've called you a few times before from Meadville, Pennsylvania, but now I've moved to Pittsburgh.
I see.
I just wanted to say to the fidget guy that that person who called was not a very representative of Christianity, and I think what he's doing is really interesting and intriguing and
different.
And, you know, all Christians aren't like him, so.
And I don't judge. I judge people by their actions. I don't judge them by their theology, because theologies will, you know, screw us up just about every time if we don't put common sense experience to it. You know, that's my experience anyway. You know, so when he's, like, putting down somebody else, that is the same as asking someone else to put him down. That's why I'm trying to be careful not to put him down, because, you know, he has the right to believe whatever he wants.
Exactly.
But he shouldn't be telling other people what they need to believe, because if his belief system worked, he wouldn't need to.
I agree totally. I thank
that's
you very
wisdom.
Much. And have a great
you.
I wish I was there with the fidget with the crowd.
It'll happen. I'm going to do time travel seminars nationally, give out a free time machine at the door.
All right.
All right, thanks.
All right. Listen, give us your location again. I mean, there may be others who may want to come down and
the
see you.
A specific location?
Yeah, sure.
I'm outside of Zanotto's in Santa Cruz.
Wait a minute, Notto's?
No, it's Zanotto's. Hell, let's give them a plug. I've been using their darn payphone. It's Zanotto's Family Market. It's a great market here in Santa Cruz. They got all sorts of stuff. They've got. Here we go. Are you ready for this? They've got farm fresh vegetables, produce, farm fresh dressings, pickles, hot cereal, breakfast food, spices, flour, sugar, salad oil, gelatin, cake mix.
All right.
I was just reading their signs across.
Zanotto's is located where?
It's right downtown Santa Cruz. It's right next to Long's Drug and in between the Mobo Sushi and the Diamond King, which is the best place to buy your magic cards around here. And
magic cards.
Yeah, there's a guy just pulled up in a truck. Hey, good guy. I don't know if he's... No, they're not.
All right, wait a minute. No, East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
You're on the air with Mr. Fidget.
Yes. This is Marcia from Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Art. I wanted to say I saw you on TBS the other night. It was super because I have been working on my distant viewing, and I had a pretty accurate description of you physically before the show. Yeah. And all this is new. I've just been doing this the last year.
Most people say to me, you don't look anything like I pictured you.
No, I tell you what. I told my husband, my 18-year-old son, and my best girlfriend what you look like before the TV show was on.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
They were amazed.
What do you think, Mr. Fidget?
I am a little ambiguous on it.
Well.
In other words, you don't know what to think.
Let me ask you this, ma'am.
Okay.
If you had been born and showed up in life, and by the time you were 4, your parents hit the road, and by the time you were 10, you'd been to school in 5 states more than once, and then you had 3 sets of foster parents plus your real parents, and then the last set kicked you out when you were 16, you spent 10 years on the road on the street learning lessons of life the hard way, wouldn't you feel a little bit ambiguous?
Oh, I tell you what, that almost describes my husband's life.
Great minds think alike.
I'm just the opposite. I lived in the same house from the time I was born until I got married the first time at the age of 23.
Well, you know what? I bet the two of us could learn something from each other, because you have the consistency that I need in order to be able to want to show up in this world on a daily basis, and I may have the diversity that you need in order to be able to look at things from not always the same way. You know,
well, this is very true. I found that with my husband that I'm married to now. We've been married 4 years. And he has opened my mind. Used to, I wasn't just grounded in logic and rationality. I was buried up to my eyeballs in it.
Yeah.
And in just a little over a year, I have been opened up to so many different experiences.
Yeah.
The powers of crystals, the powers of the mind. I mean, it is just totally mind-boggling. Contact with ETs, which I won't get into that because that's nanny, you know.
All right, well, listen, we appreciate your call.
Mr. Fidget.
Yes.
One question.
Okay,
I haven't seen your fidgets. I don't have access to a computer. I am a smoker, and I sit around twiddling my cigarette lighter.
Let me describe to you how to get your own darn fidget, okay? Because there's 6 billion people in the world, and if everybody wants a fidget, that's too bad, because I'm not going to work my fingers to a bloody stub making fidgets.
Oh,
we're
going
to work on a way to do it. All you got to do is go into the bike shop near you and say, hey, look, bud, I need some bike chain. I want 1 speed bike chain. I want 3 links. I want 2 roller links, and I want 1 pin link, please. Okay?
2 roller and 1 pin.
Yeah, 2 roller links, 1 pin link, and then all you got to do is get a 1-inch key ring. Take the 3 links of chain, hook one end to the key ring, loop it around, hook the other end to the key ring, and then put the key ring in the middle there, and you'll have a fidget.
Okay, that's a very basic fidget, right? Thank you, ma'am.
That's the original.
All right, but see, what you sent me, these are far more complex than that. Now, there may be a key ring here, but there are many, many circles within and little spacers, and it's hard to describe, really. frankly, to the audience. I suppose we can get some pictures up.
Yeah.
But this is far more complex than what you just described.
Yeah, I was just giving her the basics, you know, the first one. And what happened, Art, is as I started taking this bike chain apart, I started saving the parts. And I'll share a little secret. Between the ages of 10 and 13, I had the joy in my life, actually, of living with an ex-division chief from the National Bureau of Standards in Boulder. And he taught me how to fabricate. He taught me in his shop how to use a lathe, how to use a drill press, how to use a rip saw, how to...
National Bureau of Standards.
Yeah, he was an incredible fabricator. The man could make anything to any specifications. And so I learned to make things real young. And then as time has gone on, most people look at I'm looking at this payphone. Most people just see a darn payphone, buttons, and a receiver. Well, I'm looking at how the thing is attached and the rivets and the screws that hold it together and how thick the plexiglass is and what the mill of the vinyl is. That's my analytical mind, and it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because very rarely do I get fooled by an object, and it's a curse because very rarely can I let an object go by without trying to understand it, you know, and especially with electronics, boy.
Well, you are kind of a strange person.
Thank you.
You're welcome. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Rich from San Jose. How you doing, Art?
Okay.
And Mr. Fidget, you're right over the hill from me there.
Morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm about, maybe 20 miles from you over in San Jose.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. If I wasn't working, I'm working one site. My buddy Dean's working the other site, and we're security guards out here. And if we weren't working, we'd come over and see you, but...
Thank you so much. We had a lady drive up all the way from Monterey that showed up here a minute ago. She
south of here.
Yep. She drove, 30 miles to come say hi to the fidget guy. I was very flattered.
Are you out of fidgets, by the way?
Yeah, I left the house with 20 and passed them all out. They're gone. I gave the, 10 away while I was sitting here. And there's a fellow just showed up, and he probably like a fidget, but I just don't have any darn fidgets. And I got to tell you, it's embarrassing for me. This happens, just about once a week where... somebody will walk up and say, hey, fidget guy, show this guy a fidget. I'll be like, I'm so sorry.
You're all out of them then, huh?
Well, for the moment, I've got about, thousands of them at home, but I just don't have any with me. I only go out with about 20 each night because they're heavy, they accumulate weight.
Yeah, I can attest to that. 20 fidgets would be pretty hefty.
Yeah, I mean, I carry a good amount of weight in my jacket. Let me ask you something there, Mr. Security Guard.
Yeah.
In your experience as a person, what's the most important thing you do to make it worth getting up in the morning?
Well, helping people. I love to help people, and I give a lot of directions and give people a lot of help here. And I help people even on the street. If I see somebody stranded, I'll stop and help them.
Amen. It's people like you that hold the world together, and that's what all the people in the world that think they know what other people need to believe have to learn, is that sometimes you just have to ask. And we do have more similarities than we have differences, and until
right.
we can
Amen.
Get over that.
I hear you.
We're in trouble, until we can get over it.
You sound like an all right guy. I'd like to meet you someday, but I'm stuck here. And Art, we really appreciate your show out here all night.
I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Uh-huh. Good night. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget.
Hi. I think this whole fidget thing sounds really interesting, but the one thing I'm sorry about is that the confusion over whether or not fidgets make time travel happen.
Well,
let me take that one, Art, if you don't mind.
Serious.
Now, actual time travel, I don't have a clue, okay? I've never left and gone back a year or forward a year, but I have had instances, this will be fun. I was issued a ticket by some security officers a couple weeks ago, actually 2 months. It was on the 24th of January. And these guys violated my federal civil rights, and I've got some lawsuit stuff going with that, and I'm not going to mention the business or anything, but the long and short of it is the security guard that wrote me out the ticket was so confused at the time. There were 5 date locations on the tickets that he gave me, and 4 of them said 6247 with a line through it 0. 1970. The only date on the whole ticket that had the accurate date was the court date, which was 1997. I showed up Santa Cruz Municipal Court. You know what? They didn't have a copy of that ticket. The DA had never heard of the case. The records people didn't have the ticket. They didn't have anything to go with the ticket. I'm currently seeking an out-of-court settlement with the company to deal with it because basically they threw me down and abused me for no reason. But I'm not a victim in this world because, if you operate as a victim, you're going to get the victim experience. You know, I'm empowered to get beyond any difficulties that I've had, and I just want to make my life better and everybody else's too.
Right, right.
The best
I first time I heard of you was on one night when Art Bell was taking calls about people who were talking about time travel or something like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I didn't answer your question. I got off on a whole sidetrack there. The answer to your question is that by having a fidget, the device that I described earlier, it allows you to take your mind off of the difficulties that are making time travel slowly. When you go one moment at a time with nothing to do, you get the sweaty palms and the itchy feet, and there you are. If you have a fidget, you at least have somewhere to put that energy, and that in itself is empowering.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about.
You have a fidget, sir, you won't really understand what I'm talking about.
I'll attest to that.
True. Believe me, I have extensive experience of working with other states and technology that's psychotronic-based and the whole nine yards. In other words, I'm a serious researcher in the whole thing about time travel in the first place.
Okay.
So my point is that...
Well, what I'm talking about is the way that people relate with time.
I understand what you're talking about. So what I'm saying is that, unfortunately, when I first heard you on the radio, there was a lot of talk about the fact that fidgets would actually make you travel in time. And so I was thinking, okay, this doesn't really sound right, but I'm going to wait around and see what this fidget stuff is really all about. And that's what I'm just saying. The fidget itself sounds like it's a really neat toy.
But
at the same time, it's unfortunate that it got mixed up with all this.
Well,
you know,
let me tell you this.
Go ahead, Mr. Fidget.
Okay. You, Art Bell, held open a line for time machines for people that had physical devices that went into and transported in time.
That's right.
I did not call in on that line. I called in on the I've Got American Rights to Talk on the Radio line.
That's
on
right.
The west of the Rockies line.
Yep.
Now, if you have some kind of time machine that would take you back in time or forward in time, I'm sure everybody would love to hear about it. And I am from Missouri. I was born in Missouri. It's the show me state. Until I see somebody go in a time machine and freaking disappear, I don't believe it. But now, as far as making painful times more pleasurable and being able to get through them, that I can absolutely prove to you beyond any shadow of a doubt is possible.
All right, I have a question for you.
Yep.
Why do so many people that do call claim that time travel with fidgets is possible?
Well,
in all your fidgetdom,
I don't know, Art. I'm just one guy with one thought, you know, and one experience, and I haven't left this time plane. I'll tell you what, if I could, Art, I would go back to when I was 4 years old, and I'd tell my parents, don't you dare do this.
No. I've got all that, and you seem very well grounded. What I'm asking is, why so many people, and I'm sure you must know it's true, have claimed that they've traveled in time with fidgets?
Well, it's a personal experience thing, I guess. Maybe, you know, for some people, that's what is available to them. I don't know how the psyche operates. I'm no genius in that matter, but, you know, I know that if you want to anchor your boat and you don't have an anchor, you just punch a hole in the bottom of the boat and it'll get anchored just fine. Okay, that's my level of common sense. You know?
I think that's why I like you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget.
Hey, Art, this is Karen in Houston.
Karen, you're going to have to yell at us a little bit.
Hi, Karen. I've worked door-to-door all through your community, and how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. In listening to you, I've come up with a few thoughts that, I don't know, I kind of see some reasoning to it. Daniel Brinkley, when he had his experience and came back from the other side, he was told and instructed in putting together this gizmo or this special room or an equipment so that people could unstress.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the psychomantium that Dr. Raymond Moody, is it?
Yep, Dr.
Has
Moody.
Put together, that seems to be a key. And in all of their traveling, unstress seems to be a secret. Element of it. So.
It could be. I've been distributing them for 6 years, and who it is that has them and what they've done with them, I really don't have any idea.
Uh-huh. And
another fellow
thing.
Just showed up here, Art. Drove 30 miles to come.
They're traveling.
You're out of fidgets, too.
Perry just showed up after 30 minutes.
Hello, Terry. All right, so...
So there is something to this, unstressing and being able to go into a different place. And I've known that since I was a little kid, and I first went to school and I learned my 1-2-3s, whenever my mind gets busied out, it's like the networks, the circuitry, my mind gets busy. I go like 246135. You know, the numbers keep busying me out.
Exactly.
And that's when I lose my train of thought, and that's when I cannot be as creative in the way I put things together in my own mind. So your fidget, what you're talking about, makes sense if it can take that extra stress out and unbusy the circuits. I think that...
That's a better answer than I can give, Art.
Really?
Well, in some cases. I mean, I don't know. It's break time, huh?
Yeah, it is. Ma'am, thank you. Okay, Mr. Fidget, you want to hang tight or do you want
to
go home?
I'd love to.
All right, then hang tight. Well, the stress part of this is very interesting for reasons I won't discuss right now. The appearance of Mr. Fidget is impossible, as he appeared tonight. The fidgets themselves are very interesting. That photograph on the studio cam remains up there at this hour. We'll do a little more of whatever this is in a moment.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997.
Sometimes my own program takes my breath away. Good morning, everybody. You know, newspaper people call me up all the time and they ask me to describe this program, and I never can. And this is why, this is another reason why. It's impossible. It's just what happens. Okay, my guest is Mr. Fidget. Who is Mr. Fidget? Well, if you're just joining us, there's no way I can possibly explain that to you. But we'll put him back on the air again here in a minute. I've got a fax here, actually two announcements I've got to make. One, tomorrow night, something that a lot of people have been waiting for. Kathy Keaton, who is an amazing lady. She's Bob Guccione's wife. She had a death sentence with cancer. And I've had a million faxes and emails and stuff about the Guccione hour we did. So tomorrow night, Kathy Keaton is going to come on and tell us first person about her cancer, and what she did about it. That'll be in the first hour. In the Pacific Time midnight hour, Dr. J. Gordon Melton will be here, and he's going to talk about, you're not going to believe this, vampires. He's going to talk about vampires. So, there you have it. Also, I just got a fax from Ed Dames, who was here last night, while I was fidgeting, and you'll just never know how true that is. He sends the following facts. Art, as promised, SciTech has tackled and solved the March 1997 Phoenix Lights mystery. Ed Frolics here. You call, we haul. A real surprise in store. Would you like to see the lights over Phoenix again? Or any other city? Even Pahrump, for that matter? I'll be detailing the event source, including the who, what, and exactly how these lights can be made to reappear anytime for a virtual on-demand performance. You just have to know how to do it. Absolutely nifty and amazing stuff. Sleep well, I will, Ed. Oh, Ed. So there you are. So we're left with that little tease. And now back to Mr. Fidget.
Now back to Mr. Fidget.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you're still there, huh?
Yeah, I'm here.
Isn't it getting cold out there or something?
Well, now let's give a big hello, Art Bell.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yeah, so we got a little group of folks here. Art, you know, people are suggesting that I give out an address. I do have an address that is, you know, prepared to receive mail addressed to me, and it is set up as a company thing. So, like, if people want to contact me, I don't know how long it's going to be until we've got it all put together. But what I can tell you is I've got top men working on it.
Well, let me tell you something. I've already got several faxes from people who say they would be glad to act as a distributor.
Oh, yeah.
Or a manufacturer or whatever for fidgets.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got a lot of faxes here like that. So
Let me give my number here, and my address. Yeah, not my number. God help me, I wouldn't be able.
Are you sure you even? Is it a mailing address only?
Yes, it's a mailing address only. If anybody shows up here, the P.O. box thing is going to say, "You and your fidget mentality, get out of here." So, but she'll be happy to receive the mail.
Why are they writing to you?
Okay. Here's what we'll do. If they do send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I will, at the very least, get them a catalog. If they include...
You have a fidget catalog?
I've got 30 different kinds of them to make. I mean, those five kinds that I sent you, Art, is pretty much what I'm going to start with. But
I need to ask you, by the way, about another type of fidget.
Uh-huh.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
You know, I've got the one here.
Well, let me finish the mailing thing just so that it's done. Okay?
Yeah, all right.
Let me tell them what to... So if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I will send you some sort of information catalog with several different models of fidgets available and the costs and how long it'll take me to get them to you. If you send me a check or money order for $5, I will guarantee that you get some sort of a great fidget that you'll never be sorry to have gotten. And I can't say exactly what it's going to be because it depends on what... Well, I have stock on hand, but what I can say is I've never had anybody get one of my fidgets and then turn around and say, oh, I'm sorry I got this. Because let's keep in mind, we live in a society where you go to a movie for $7, you get an hour and 42 minutes of entertainment,
right?
And you leave with nothing. And if you want stress relief, you go to a therapist for $75 an hour. So
well,
I think $5 is a good deal.
No, it is. I've got to agree. I mean, I really do agree. It's just that you've got to be sure you follow through with your fidget orders if you get a lot of them.
I have business partners. There's people standing right here that would go to work with me making fidgets right now.
You mean like people that you just met?
No, I've actually been engaged in having a logistical manager and dealing with my fidget operation for 6 months now. And, you know, our relationship has gone through, you know, tides and turns. And ever since that assault thing happened a couple months ago, it's changed my mental psyche. You know, I went from being a artist who's been pushing up the hill to, you know, being thrown down and embarrassed and humiliated in front of a crowd of people. And that had a detrimental effect. And
happened in front of a whole crowd of people, huh?
Yeah, there was a whole line of witnesses that saw me effectively at some business, which will remain nameless. They have a no-bike, skateboard, or rollerblade policy, and I asked him about what that meant, and he told me what it meant, and I responded to try to understand what it meant. And then another guy I wasn't even talking to turned around and said, well, if you don't like the policy, you can leave. I said, well, hey, I don't have a problem with the policy. He said, I told you to leave. I said, hey, you treat me like that. You're right, I'm going to leave, but I need my bike. He said, no, you get across the tracks right now or you're going to jail for trespassing. And I said, hey, look, you moron, you can't take my bike. And then they threw me down on the ground. And
yeah,
so I got four witnesses that saw me saying.
Was this an actual cop or like a rent-a-cop?
That was a rent-a-cop. It was a company security guard.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, though, he was doing
the best thing that he could do. I don't fault that man because he wouldn't have made that decision if he didn't think it was the right thing to do. But in the future, I'd like to see that company have a mediation
program. Well, why would they write tickets in 1970?
Well, I don't know. Or maybe someday I'll send you a copy of that ticket. It's hilarious. Who knows? It was a fluke. Maybe the guy was in another. I don't know.
All right.
What I can say is I like fidgets, and they work real good.
Well, actually, you know what? I've been sitting here. I'm a pretty heavy smoker.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fidgeting now for about an hour and a half at least and not smoking. So.
Wow. I told you the guaranteed method to quit smoking. Promise
yeah.
to fidget instead.
Yeah.
So let me give you a couple, like, over-the-phone instructions for your fidget. You know, the square one? Do you have that there?
Well, No, I don't. I have one fidget here that I kind of have taken a liking to.
It's the fancy
one,
isn't it? It's the fancy one, isn't it?
Well, no. No, it isn't, actually. It's the one with...
The two rings and all the links in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one my mom used to quit smoking after 29 years smoking every day.
Is that right?
Yep, she's been an alcoholic.
Okay, but I wanted
years.
To ask you about, remember
okay.
now, this
right.
other fidget, the one with all the rings and circles inside
oh, yep.
the circles.
Yep.
What is that?
Well, after I'd been making fidgets for about a year, I had bought 4,000 key rings, and I was sitting in Denny's in Boulder, Colorado with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I went in there with a big old handful of key rings, and we put them down on the table. I said, let's see what we can make. And he put together one of those little things, and he called it a skew. P-S-Q-U-E is how he spelled it, but I shortened it to S-K-E-W just for people's...
Skew.
Yeah, skew. It's a skew. You know, it's always a skew. It's always at different angles.
Oh, very good. Yes, right.
Yeah. And it's basically, you know, that's got to be some sort of a universal law, you know, because it's all circles, you know. It's got to be some sort of a process law.
Are there people who think that you're one fidget short of a full fidget set?
You know, there are probably a few people that think I ought to have some counseling, you know.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't.
You wouldn't argue with him necessarily?
Well, I wouldn't argue with him necessarily, no, because I've had a real traumatic background. But, you know, I challenge them to do what I do based on what I've done. You know what I'm saying? I continue to show up every day in my life and do the little things that it takes to get through.
All right. Let's go back to the phones here.
Yes, sir.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget.
Hi. This is Phil from Santa Cruz.
You're in Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I'm the pirate radio guy that came by to the phone booth.
No, I don't believe it.
I'm serious. I got home. I had to come back and flip the tape.
Are you actually? You're not rebroadcasting.
I'm not broadcasting you, but we listen to a bunch of things. We listen to the cops in the area. shortwave.
And you rebroadcast the cops?
No. Well, maybe in an artistic format later after the date that it happens.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, we listen to you.
What frequency are you on?
We're on 96.3 FM.
96.3 FM?
There's actually a few of us. I actually have some email from some other pirates, and we kind of talk about your show sometimes.
We sure are on the air, too, Art. You know, sometimes I'll just scan around on the dial, and I'll run into them because they got something interesting on. Like, one time they were replaying interviews with the Black Panthers or, you know, all sorts of different stuff. It's a neat station. Although, I have to say also, sometimes they're playing stuff a little too hard for my taste. But that doesn't mean that there isn't somebody out there who's really enjoying it.
We actually met. We were broadcasting from a hilltop out of this bike cart contraption that we pull around on a bike on a mobile broadcast system.
So you can scoot if you need to.
Yeah, well, they tore our house down about a week before that.
And what?
So, the city did. The FCC didn't. They condemned our house, and we made the national news. It was a big scene.
I missed that.
Oh, you missed that?
They condemned your house for what?
Well, the only thing they talked about on the news was something about urine bottles being thrown at the police, but it never really
happened.
You
didn't do that, did you?
No, we didn't, actually.
That would have been awful.
Actually, the videotape shows the police throwing what looks like bottles of urine off the roof. But
well, that I find it hard to believe, too.
Yeah.
It's a big gaggle. But I have a fidget.
Do you?
And it got me through on the first caller line. I've ever been able to get through with my fidget. I decided I'd give it a try.
That's it. If you want to get through to Art Bell, you better get a fidget.
There's a report from Fidget Land. They work on the first caller line.
So you found a new place to live, I take it?
Yeah, for the time being.
Sort of, yeah.
For the time being, but we don't broadcast from our house.
You're not flying the Jolly Roger up above or anything?
We were when they came to tear the house down. We have a really interesting picture of the FCC car driving underneath it.
You do?
Yes.
I'd love to have a copy of that.
Oh, it's supposed to be on the Free Radio Berkeley website, but I definitely can send you a copy of that.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be sure to get that up.
Okay.
Would you send it?
Yes, I'll definitely send it, because they didn't put it up on the website that we last sent it to. So, yeah, I'll definitely send it to you.
All right, 96.3, behind bars, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Well, wild card line, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget. Hello.
Oh, Mr. Fidget, still there?
Yeah, sir.
Oh, I thought there was some kind of plot going on. My radio station cut away an hour early. I figured, I'll catch them on the internet, and they're playing Majorhead Dames all over again. Just kick that off.
That's impossible.
That's what's going on.
Really?
Uh-huh. So I think it's some kind of plot.
Well, you know,
look, he's here, so if you have a question, fire away.
Okay, I was wondering how I could become a fidget producer.
Oh.
A fidget? To make your own fidgets?
Yeah, work for you, more or less, though.
One thing I can say is I don't want anybody working for me because I've worked for a bunch of people. I don't mind people working with me, but I'm never going to have anybody work for me. So if you want to work with somebody, we could work something out. But if you want to work for somebody, you got to find somebody that's willing to have people work for them.
Okay, I didn't know how you were going
to
work that.
Well, what you ought to do is write to him. He gave out his address. Did you get it?
No, I didn't.
Well, do you want it?
Sure do.
I'll scoot it out real quick here. It's here you go. If you send me an inquiry, a distributor inquiry, I'll answer it the best that I possibly can. My address is 309 Cedar, C-E-D-A-R, Street, number 4A, Santa Cruz, California, 95060.
95060.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Thank you much.
All right. Take care. Yep. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget. Hello.
Hey there. How the hell y'all doing?
Good morning.
Pretty damn good, sir. Turn your radio off.
Hang on.
It's been a slack night on that, Art. Most people had it off already, huh?
Well,
it's been pretty good, yeah. Hi.
Hi, okay. My name is Zach. I'm calling y'all out of Dallas.
Dallas, okay.
Yeah. Got a question for you, Mr. Art Bell.
Okay.
It's the third time I've listened to your station, first-time caller.
Yes.
Interesting stuff on the radio, great stuff. Very different. I'm happy finally someone's talking about what's really on their mind instead of,
gobbledygook.
Exactly. instead of this BS. Anyway,
what?
Okay, that was the comment to you, Mr. Bell. Mr. Fidget, sir.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Well, I have to tell you, I've been better and I've been worse, but I've never been quite the same.
Okay, that's a good answer, and that's what I expected from you. That's the answer I expected, which is, cool.
Let me ask you a question.
Please
do. Since you've got your life experience, what gets you up out of bed in the morning? Why do you want to show up and live your life?
Okay, well, I live my life, so one day I will be able to provide a very, I live my life to make a lot of money. That's what I do.
Do you really want to make a lot of money, or do you just want to be happy and you think that the money is what's going to bring that to you?
I think, for my personal, I mean, I'm 19 years old, first of all. I'm a student.
Mm-hmm.
I wait tables. That makes me, that gives me a lot of money, you know, while I'm going to school.
Very social job. Looks like we got a break coming up, huh, Art?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I thought I heard the little music going there in the background.
There is.
Let me say this in waiting and stuff. The secret to money is to be happy, and if you're happy, the money will follow. If you're doing something that you're unhappy with, you got to find something that you can do with a smile on your face, or why do you want to get up in the morning?
That's serious wisdom for you, Colin.
I believe that. But I hate what I do. I hate waiting tables. I do. That's honest. You know, that's about as honest as it gets. But.
Well, then go find something that'll make you smile when you get up in the morning. All right, we've got a break here. It's the bottom of the hour, and I don't have the slightest idea what we're doing.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 14th, 1997. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from August 14, 1997.
All right, direct from a telephone in front of a store in Santa Cruz, California. Mr. Fidget will be back in a moment. Yeah, a couple of very important questions. Like, for example, how do you spell fidget? And then somebody sent a very relevant fax here. He said, send a check or money order for $5. I wonder what happens if you make it out to Mr. Fidget. I bet he never thought of that. Back to Mr. Fidget. Mr. Fidget,
yes,
two critical questions that
right.
I guess we should ask. How do you spell fidget?
Well, I spell it F-I-D-G-E-T.
Okay. Well, then whoever sent this fax has got it right. So that's F-I-D-G-E-T.
Yeah, that trademark that the other guy has is F-I-G-I-T.
Uh-huh.
So I figure, well,
all right. Suppose somebody sent you, it's a relevant question, check or money order, something for $5.
Yeah.
Who would they make it out to?
That's a darn good question, isn't it?
Yeah,
I would say make it out to MBN, which stands for Motion-Based Novelties.
MBN?
Yes, sir. MBN. That's the category that I call the fidgets, is motion-based novelties, because I kind of had to create a category. So that's what the actual objects are.
Well, I hope that you don't get in a tussle with the bank people anyway.
Oh, for MBN?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in other words, you're going to take something in there, MBN. Well, what the hell's MBN? It's your problem.
No, we got a company set up. It's okay.
All right.
It's okay.
All right. All right. You know best.
Yep,
first time caller line, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget. Hello?
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 Am I there?
Only you know that for sure.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Brian. I'm in Elgin.
Elgin what?
Illinois.
Okay.
I'm just calling because this is one of the most interesting shows I've heard, and you have some pretty interesting topics usually.
Strange, yeah.
And this is just something seems pretty simple, it seems, but I'm just kind of still unclear about the fidget, and I was wondering for people that just tuned in if you could...
I'll do it one more time.
All right.
In 1991, my bike chain broke. When I put the new chain on, I had three extra links. So I took the three links, two roller links, one pin link. So you got two pins through the middle, and you got four little rollers on two roller links. So little just three links of chain. Then I took a one-inch key ring, and I attached it to the end of both of the holes in the roller links, and it created a device where the three links flopped from one side of the key ring back to the other, and created a little device that would never break, wear out, or fail. And within 10 seconds of making the first one, the guy next to me said, hey, what do you got there? And I showed it to him, and he said, I'm trying to quit smoking. Can I have it? And I gave it to him, and my life has been a blur ever since then with untold thousands of people receiving fidgets, people copying me, making fidgets, people telling me what to do with them. Like, for instance, the regular basic fidget makes a great bottle opener. But I didn't know that. That's in the instruction book, too, Art. But I didn't know that until I'd sold hundreds of them, and one of my friends came back and said, hey, it's a bottle opener.
I don't see exactly. Maybe a basic fidget could be a bottle opener.
Yep, it's a very good bottle opener. Yeah,
really?
If you look in the back of the comic book, tell your wife to bring the comic book in there. You should have it for, you know, just to refer
well,
to.
Well, I'll do as you suggested, and I will scan it. That's the best idea.
If you would, or not the whole book, just the first page.
The first page with the comic on it, or what?
Yeah, the first page where it has Mr. Fidget and he has a cartoon character standing on terra firma.
Oh, I see.
My broken bike chain.
I see. And you want to maintain your physical anonymity.
Well, I mean, I'm not even dead set on that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can shave my beard off or whatever I want to do, you know. But anyway, what I'm saying, though, is that first page of the comic book explains how the process of invention happened.
Well, there's a lot of very unusual people in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know if you'd play in Peoria. But
Illinois.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Illinois.
Yeah. Well, I've been in Northbrook there. My grandfather lived there his whole life. He was a key designer for Bell and Howell. And my father grew up there, worked door-to-door selling Fuller brushes in downtown Chicago. And I've been there half a dozen times. I think I could make the mustard, cut the grade, and so on and so forth.
Well, maybe the beard would have to go.
Oh, no doubt. I'm prepared to shave it off, but you know what happens? Every time I shave it off, the darn thing grows back.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget.
Morning, Art. Morning, Mr. Fidget.
Good morning.
Where are you?
This is Tom in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes, sir.
And I was just calling to say that I was glad you asked the question about who to make the check out to, because I planned on getting it in the mail this morning.
God bless you.
Yeah, it sounds like a neat little doodad. I've been trying to quit smoking, and the biggest problem I have is when I'm driving, it's something to do with my hands.
Yeah, this does work.
Yeah,
and sir, if you're driving, please hold on to the wheel with your hands.
Well, you know, you can drive with one hand, and, you know, you smoke and drive.
He's really right. I mean, if you can smoke and drive, which your smoking bone is connected to the driving bone, as it is to many other bones, and so if you can do that, you could fidget with one hand.
Well, from a manufacturer's perspective, Art, it would be very imprudent for me to recommend
somebody smoke
and drive, and even to let the comment go by. Although, really,
I'll tell you one thing for sure, though. It's a damn sight easier to drop a fidget in your lap than it is a cigarette.
That's for sure.
You're driving.
Can we do something? Would you be willing to, like, hold open the first-time caller line for somebody that's already met me and has a fidget? And we already did that.
I know they're out there because I got a million emails from them.
Exactly. I'd like to talk to somebody that hasn't seen me for a few years or at least a few months that's not in Santa Cruz.
All right. Hold on. We'll do that.
Thank you, Art.
All right. Everybody, hang up. Everybody. Whoever's calling right now, hang up. This never works, Mr. Fidget, because, you know, they're dying to get through.
Well,
so.
I know the people that have my fidgets. I never forget a face or a voice.
Really?
Yeah, well, very rarely. I mean, I'll run into somebody 3 years later.
Almost remember all your customers? That's quite amazing.
It is, when they're in front of me. You know, and when I hear, you know, I remember mannerisms and stuff, but I've literally seen 5 million people in the last 2 years just in accumulated event attendance, so it's real hard sometimes to tell.
All right, well, if everybody out there would cooperate and hang up on all lines, which are all ringing, and only those people who actually already have a fidget would call.
And
by the way, what's fidget delivery time?
I'm going to say that I'll start, oh, golly, Art. I wish I knew for sure. I've got six guys here in Santa Cruz that are willing to help me put together fidgets on a moment's notice, and my biggest order ever was 20,000 fidgets, and I got them all shipped in 2 weeks. So I'm gonna say 2 to 4 weeks.
2 to 4 weeks.
And some of the first ones will be sooner, but if it piles up on me, if I get, like, you know, God help me, 10,000 orders or something like that, because you've got 10 million listeners, you know, I've got to create some protocols that I don't currently have in order to deal with that. You know, as far as shipping and stuff, UPS is on strike.
But you're, all right. Oh, that's right. How do you normally ship?
I've been mailing them, just regular mail. It works great. Just padded up, just like what I sent to you, except a padded envelope.
Okay.
And not that overnight $15 charge.
Yeah.
You know, I waited in line for 45 minutes to get that package out. I got there, and they had me waiting. I wanted to say one other thing, Art. There's a fellow here that drove 40 miles to come and be here at the payphone where we're at. And he just wanted to say hi to Art Bell real quick.
All right.
Okay, here he is.
All right, put him on.
Hi, Art. This is Perry from Los Gatos.
Perry from Los Gatos.
Yes.
How you doing?
Real good, and thank you for...
Why would you drive 40 miles?
Well, it was really interesting, and this gentleman, Mr. Fidget here, is a very interesting person. We're standing in a parking lot, as you well know.
In the middle of the night at 3 in the morning.
And I have my 12-year-old boy with me. It was his idea, by the way. We're parked on top of my property.
And he said, Dad, come on, let's go see
Mr. Fidget. Yeah, can he say hello to
Yes, of course.
Come here. His name's Marky.
Marky, all right.
Hi,
Marky. How are you doing?
Good.
Well, you made your dad come down to see Mr. Fidget?
Mm-hmm.
Is Mr. Fidget an interesting guy?
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like a happening in the middle of the night, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you up so late, Marky?
Well, since school's out, I just stay up late with my dad.
Cool. Having fun?
Yeah.
Well, you can go into the store there, I guess, and get an ice cream or something.
Actually, they're closed.
They're closed. I'm surprised they didn't come down and open for this. Well, listen, Marky, thank you, and say hello to all of America and Canada and about half the world.
Okay, hello.
All right, put Mr. Fidget back on because people want to talk to him. Thanks, Marky.
Okay.
Okay, Art Bell.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Fidget.
No, I don't like that voice.
Changing the voice.
Yeah, that's right. I don't deal with those people. First time caller line, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget.
It's really amazing. Is this Shaz on the other end?
Oh, you blew it.
All right. When he said, I want to talk to somebody who's got a fidget,
well, this man knows me, Art
Bell. I go, oh, my goodness.
That's my name.
You know Mr. Fidget?
And his mother. And
his mother?
Who is this?
Dan Bowe with Cannabis Foods.
Dan? All right.
Cannabis Foods?
Yep.
You mean like marijuana brownies and stuff?
Well, seeds.
Seed.
You know, the plant has many, many, many uses.
Yeah, I'd like to give a plug for that, too. It's maybe the only thing that'll save our planet. It creates much more oxygen per square acre than trees do. You can use it for food and fuel and fiber, and it's an absolute ludicrous heresy that it's illegal, and it's strictly a ploy by the oil companies to keep us using these petroleum products. And I've
got to agree with you.
And I mean, I'm not one to... I don't like to go out on the political limb, you know. I like to kind of keep it safe. But in reality, okay, I know you never allow biblical quotes at all, Art, but I want to say Genesis 1:30 says, I give you every green herb to use as meat, meaning food, fuel, ingestions. And it was used throughout the centuries, and for some reason, some guys back in 1935 thought that they knew better, and I'm really amazed.
So that's not like part of the DEA manual, huh?
Holy moly. Well, Danbo, thank you for calling in.
My pleasure.
All right.
It's good to hear that you're doing well.
Do you have
I hadn't seen you in a while. Now I know why. You're in Santa Cruz.
Do you have a fidget?
I have three fidgets.
You do?
All right. You gotta love them.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
See you later.
Yep.
Wild card line, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow, I can't believe it. You know what? I think I need a fidget. This is the seventh time the phone's actually rang.
But you don't have a fidget.
I know, and that's all I kept thinking is I need a fidget to get in here.
She sounds nice. I'll tell you what, miss. If you'd like a fidget, here's the deal. I'm sending them out as quick as humanly possible. And actually, I may even do it as quick as superly humanly possible. If you send a $5 check.
I wrote it down.
See, she's already got it.
Oh, okay. I'm on it. Where are you, ma'am? I'm in Kalama, Washington, like 30 minutes from Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
I was thinking about... Is that right? Is that Clark County, ma'am?
No, Cowlitz County.
Pretty close to Clark County?
Right next to it, yeah.
You ever been to the Clark County Fair?
Not this year.
Oh, well, have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
You may have met me and never even knew it. I've sold lots of stuff at the Clark County Fair.
Probably you sound pretty familiar. I think you could sell just about anything.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. We have a Clark County here in Nevada, too, by the way.
Oh, I know. All my relatives live there in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
So, in fact, the only time I ever saw fireworks in Nevada was in Pahrump.
Really?
Yeah.
We sell them here.
Yeah. Oh, years ago. Anyways, I was wondering about what you think about children who can't really concentrate
like
in school.
ADD stuff?
Huh?
ADD, is that what you're talking about?
Well, sort of. I mean, my son, I wouldn't consider him that, but he just has trouble.
Well, let me share an experience. I have a friend that is a head of social work at one of the agencies in Denver, and she's been using my fidgets to give two kids when she's interviewing them, and it allows them something that breaks that fidgety cycle, no pun intended, that by a kid having one of these fidgets, it's at least something to focus on, and then after you play with it a little bit, you end up just holding on to it, and then you're focused on whatever it is you're doing or putting it in your pocket. It may be a benefit, but here's the fact of the matter. The devices need to be studied. And as long as these philanthropy organizations are busy throwing money down a toilet to go put some sort of advertising on the moon or whatever the heck they're doing, and they're not looking at common sense solutions to common sense problems, it's causing us all trouble because our philanthropy dollars are not serving people. There are hundreds of thousands of people that have now seen these fidgets and might want one and could maybe benefit from them, but because nobody's taken the time at MIT and Stanford and Harvard and all these places to look at the simplest thing they could possibly ever come across and study it to see how it could benefit, all the people that might need it haven't had it, and it's been available now for over 5 years. You know,
but it's always like that.
it needs to be studied, and I put the call out there, hey, I'm available to provide the devices to be studied. I'm available to show you the progress that I've made with the devices, and I can put in front of you people who've recovered from burn injuries with these devices, people who've quit smoking, people who've recovered from physical therapy, who could never, their therapist said they could never play music again, and then 6 months later, after fidgeting with my little devices, they're able to recoup their hands. So, I mean, it's going to happen. There is no doubt. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I wish you could really get it out quick, boy. It sounds like something
I'm
everybody
working on
needs.
It, and after this broadcast, I am very confident that many circumstances will come to bear that I could not even have imagined even 48 hours ago.
Well, I'm going to write you and
thank you.
See if I can't help in producing them, giving them out there.
Well,
but
all right.
Just for kids' sake.
Exactly.
And I want to say, you know, I listen to you almost every single night.
Thanks.
And this is one of the most enjoyable shows. I have been laughing so hard, and he is just so entertaining. And I'm amazed at some of the wisdom for 29 years old.
There you are. Thank you very much. Well,
thank you, man.
You can age quickly when you're bouncing around a lot. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget.
Good morning, Art, and good morning, Mr. Fidget.
Good morning.
Fantastic show tonight. I love this.
Where
thank
are you?
You wonder-
Where are you?
I'm in Albany, New York.
Albany. All right.
One thing I've never been in Albany, but let's see what he has to say.
All right, what I have to say is one thing that gets me up in the morning, you're asking a lot of those callers, Art
yeah.
Bell.
Art Bell gets
me up. Yeah, I set my clock for 12:55 Eastern time, and that's why I work my schedule around. I work to Art Bell the first 5 hours of my morning every morning. So
right.
He's what gets me up.
Well, you know why I said that. I don't have anything against you personally. He was trying to hold open the lines for people that had fidgets just so I could, like, talk to some of these people and we could hear some reports from people that did it. But I can't fault you for wanting to call in because every
time... Well,
you see,
I did hesitate calling, but he's taken several callers since that request that didn't have that topic in hand.
Well, I can't blame you. I would have called in, too, and I'm glad you did. And you're right. Art Bell is an American legend, and he is a man... that absolutely makes a concrete difference in everything. A perfect example would be earlier this week on Monday when he stepped in on the UPS strike and did what tens of thousands of reporters and newspapers and a whole bunch of people with their pens, well, I don't want to talk about where the pens are, but the reality is he took action and everybody else went, oh, boop, 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 and now what are they doing? They're bargaining.
Yep.
You know, we don't know that it wasn't Art Bell's broadcast on Monday night that brought them together.
Nor do we know that it was.
The other morning I had the honors, and Art asked me right before he hung up, what would I do if he didn't show up? Did you have any idea you were going to take the following night off, Art?
No.
So I was very intrigued after you
I was curious about that, too. I thought the Men in Black might have interceded the package and pulled you off the air, particularly after they didn't rebroadcast the second half of the second hour.
The second half of the second hour? They did a rebroadcast of Ed Dames last night.
No, I mean two nights ago.
You're talking about 2 nights ago. Well, you know, that could be a local station thing. That could be any one of a million things.
KOH, KPNW, and also KNRY.
Well, then it had to be a network thing.
Yeah.
It had to be a network thing.
You know, someday...
It's like one more... we're out of time here, you know. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Mr. Fidget. Hello?
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 Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Well, I went to order tonight's program, but of the first 2 hours with all they had on it. Now, damn it, Art, get this guy on tape, will you?
Well, we've got him on tape.
What?
We've got him on tape.
Yep.
Well, I wanna order it, but I want Mr. Fidget the last 2 hours.
All right.
You
I already
me,
ordered the first 2 hours. I want this last 2 hours.
Well, I'll consult with the network and let you know if it's available tomorrow, okay?
Okay. You want to take my number?
Don't give me your number over the air. Don't do that. just listen on the air tomorrow, okay?
All right, Bill.
Yes.
Someday, in my absolutely rapid tone of voice, in which I can speak almost quicker than any man on earth, as quick as the Federal Express guy, as quick as anybody that you'll ever run into, I would love to run down the list of your affiliates and list every single one of them without any question and have you have that as a little cart if you'd play it at your convenience.
All right, I'd love to do that. In the meantime, you, Mr. Fidget, get the honors tonight, so let's see what you can do in about 30 seconds.
Good night, America, and all the fidgets at sea. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to the Art Bell broadcast and the commensary moment in which fidgets were known to the world.
That'll do it. Good night, my friend.
God bless.
Go home. Radio from the high desert. Good night.